You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
Welcome to another edition of Swoop's World, right here on the new Talk Story Radio Network. Swoop's World, where you get all you need to know about arts, culture, news, and happiness. Our number, if you want to give us a call tonight, is 562-912-3444. You can always email us at swoopsworld@gmail.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. Once again, if you want to give us a call, that number is 562-912-3444. Now just sit back and enjoy another edition of Swoop's World on the new Talk Story Radio Network. Welcome to another edition of Swoop's World Late Night, Wednesday, January 16th, 2013. How's it going, Peter?
It's going all right.
And we have as our guest today our good friend Tom O'Keefe. How's it going, Tom?
It's going real good.
We'll be getting a chance to chat with him and kind of find out what he's up to and what he's doing and his take on nutrition and fitness. And Tom's he's the master, man. So looking forward to having a chance to chat with him. How's your week been, man?
It's been okay. It's been, kind of just okay. Just no highs, no lows, just that middle of the road. Been cold.
Cold is that's a term I would use.
Yeah, I took my daughter because I ride her to school every day, and today I took her on the bike, and as I came back, by the time I came back, my eyes were just streaming. It was so cold. It's just they were just tearing. I had glasses on and everything. I was like, oh my gosh, it's been cold.
You're a good man, man. I took my kid to school, too. We jumped in the car.
I keep expecting, my daughter's 7, I keep expecting her to go, Dad, it's so cold. Can't we just take the car? But she never does. Now, my son, he'd have been like every day, just take the car. But now my daughter, so I'm like, until she asks, we ride.
All right, well, that's good, man. That's good. I just want to eat the I have this thing that I do, this out of whatever, I just have it. The moment I get in the car, I roll the window down. I just always, I've always done that. And the thing is, the car's in the garage, so when we get in the car, I put the window down, and he starts freaking out. Why are you putting the window down? I'm like, you know, the garage, we're inside the garage, it's still 62 degrees, man. We haven't gotten out yet. Nobody's going to start stressing over this just yet, man. Right. So, but all's good, man, all's good. And good weekend last weekend?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
You hung out.
Yeah, we had a good time.
We had some played some cards.
Exactly.
That was nice.
That was fun.
If I remember right, you and Barbara won, eh?
Yeah.
Right, didn't you? You guys won each?
I won the second game.
You never win. That stuck in my mind.
Yeah, I know. Dear Diary, I finally won a card. Let's take our first break and come back and introduce our guests and let everybody get a chance to listen to Tom.
Sounds good.
Listen to the Swoop's World on the Talk Story Radio Network. Also at AM 1670, Dewberry Jam Community Radio out of San Antonio, Texas. This one here is from Mark Platt. It's called Selling Crazy, and we'll be back after this.
You're selling crazy, but I just don't care. You use my body, I love the wear and tear. Want me? It's a vicious cycle, total insanity. I don't wanna know. I don't wanna know what's in your head. You're selling crazy, crazy in my bed. You're selling crazy, and that keeps my ego fed. You're selling crazy, crazy in your head. Ba 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 da ba da ba. Ba 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 da ba da ba. say you want my heart. You call it love, but that always tears me apart. Baby, wake me up when you want me. It's a vicious cycle, total insanity. I don't wanna know. I don't wanna know what's in your head. You're selling crazy, crazy in my bed. You're selling crazy, and that keeps my ego fed. You're selling crazy, crazy in your head. It's a war I'll never win. It is over before it begins. You're selling crazy, but I just don't care. You use my body, I love the wear and tear. Baby, wake me up when you want me. It's a vicious cycle, total insanity. You're selling crazy, crazy in my bed.
You might know me, I'm 50 Cent. You may follow my tweets, my Facebook friends. Odds are a few in a 6 degrees separate us. We're that close. What's crazy is 1 in 6 don't know where their next meal is coming from. These are your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends. Hunger's too close for us to ignore. So visit feedingamerica.org/hunger and find your local food bank to see how you can make a difference. From one close friend to another, let's do this. I'm 50 Cent, and together we are Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Kate Pearson from the B-52s for Rad. Getting drunk is your own business, but when you drive drunk, you make it everybody's business. Don't drink and drive. Be responsible, plan ahead, and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
Hey, this is Sean Paul on the wall, and you're listening to Soup's World.
And welcome back to Soup's World on the Talk Story Radio Network. Mm. Turn that a little bit this way, man. There we go.
This is turning. There we go.
It's just a little bit too far away. So, we're happy to have as our guest today Tom O'Keefe. How's it going, Tom?
It's going quite well, in spite of everything.
Well, you know, the thing is, I know Tom, and Tom's a good friend of mine, and I know a little bit of background, but I want
but
you.
But don't be easy on me.
I won't.
No.
I want you to tell our listeners. Now, you spent a lot of time in the automotive field. But for the last 30 years, you've kind of devoted your life to fitness and nutrition. And tell everybody how you kind of got started in that and why you got started in that.
27 years and close. We need to be closer friends. You got to get the 27 versus 30 right.
Listen, here's the thing. Last
I don't like to.
Last time you were on the show, it said 27 years.
Yeah.
It's been 3 years since you've been on the show, so I just upgraded it there. I can do
that. Okay, there you go. There you go.
So were you lying then or are you lying now? That's
I I have to have enough things go wrong in your life, I think, before you decide to make a decision about anything. I don't think human nature does things in a preventive mode voluntarily very easily. And I think I've evolved into a person that doesn't go attack people and tell them they're wrong, I love to make friends and listen to their stories. I'll help anybody who raises their hand, not because I'm a magician, but because the truth is really simple.
Yeah.
And even I can understand it. And if you have enough things go wrong, like lose enough family and lose enough friends, have enough things go wrong in your own health and your own lack of memory and desire and hope and a lot of different areas, you start to say, well, I wonder if there are any available options. And you start looking for complicated solutions, which is kind of the American way. It's kind of like American marketing.
Right.
Come out with a new solution for a problem that doesn't exist and convince people that they've got a problem. And mass market something and create a need. And the solutions are really basic. And, you know, I got tired of doing eulogies one every other month,
yeah.
Basically. And about 15 years ago, I got fed up and jumped ship and got out of the corporate world. And scarily, it wasn't an easy decision for me, because I didn't really have a retirement to speak of, to fall back on. I decided to get involved in something that I knew was true and was going to make a difference, selfishly, in my own life, because I wanted to be healthy and I wanted everybody I knew to be healthy, but I wanted to make a bigger impact. And I bless people along the way. If they think that the next deep-fried chimichanga cheeseburger is going to be their path to health and that pork fat and all that's the next way to make themselves feel good before they go to sleep at night, I'll love them like a brother and put my arm around them and say, I'm here for you, you know, when you need me for whatever I'm worth. So that made the difference for me to jump ship and put my effort into a different arena.
When you look at just the way people evolve as far as their thought process goes, and things like you said, things were happening in your world that kind of makes you want to see what else is out there, find a better way, you know, get ahead of the, get, you know, get more into the prevention aspect of it, as opposed to the you know, going to the doctor after you're already sick type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
What you know, we all grew up in an era, you know, here in the U.S. over years, where what we call whole food nutrition now is basically what our grandparents and great-grandparents did naturally. You know, they grew their own food. They didn't use a lot of chemicals and whatnot. And then we got into the part, you know, the period of time where we were pre-packaging things and, you know, those supermarkets and stuff like that, and it was a newer, a better way. Now people are trying. A lot of people are trying to go back to the older way, trying to find the organics or the whole food nutrition and stuff like that. When you first started looking for a better way, was that the first thing you thought about was whole food nutrition, or did that was something that kind of evolved within you?
No, good question. Because I was a major jock, and I was into performance, and my performance was dwindling. And even though I was extremely fit looking, I didn't know that there was a difference between fit and healthy. And that concept I've studied profusely over the last 15 years. And now I know exactly what the difference is. And I don't have enough time in my day to teach each person one at a time, but the evidence out there is very easy for anybody to go see if they want to learn. And there are simple truths all over the place. Fitness was my drive.
Right.
You know, 215 pounds, 8% body fat. Didn't matter what the weight was, I could pick it up. You know, I could swim 3 miles competitively with an overnight notice. I could go run a marathon the next day and finish on the drop of a hat. Run a triathlon every weekend. But I was destroying myself because I didn't know the nutritional component for staying up with that level of exercise. I didn't know that an athlete needed 3 times the amount of fruits and vegetables, not carbohydrates necessarily, but fruits and vegetables in his diet, that or her diet, than somebody who flipped channels and ate pizza every day. I didn't know that. I was raised, it was so funny, my grandfather would come by in the morning and treat us all to breakfast, and we'd go by and go to Bob's Big Boy and have sausage and eggs, and I would eat four cheeseburgers, sausage and eggs, and biscuits. I would eat the whole menu before lunch. And my rationale was, if I eat enough stuff, I know there's going to be enough good stuff in there for me that I don't really have to worry about what I'm eating.
Right.
Because it's all going to be in there. And you mentioned the packaging and the difference between the grandparents, our parents, and what the kids today are dealing with, and the packaged foods versus the food that look like food. You could identify it. And I laugh because I've heard some lectures recently. And the kid comes home and goes, "Mommy, Mommy, but they said it was food on the box. They said it was food. They lied." And then he makes his parents throw all the monosodium glutamate, high fructose corn syrup, yellow number 5 and 6 and blue and all of the different things that you don't want to see on a label. And then mom says, "Okay, we're going to do better. And we're going to go to the grocery store together." And they go shopping for the fresh fruits and vegetables. It's been laying around for 2 weeks, and 70% of the nutrition's gone. And they think they're doing a good job, but what else do we have to choose from? You know, there's really not much to choose from. Because sometimes fresh is better than anything else.
Well, yeah, I think you can do the best you can. But, you know, the thing is people are conditioned. I was listening to kind of a lecture the other day, and they were talking about somebody who had gone, where they were teaching kids, and they had taken them on a kind of a trip to visit and see how things were made and what was real whole food and what was not. And, you know, they showed kids, you know, chicken and stuff like that. Then they showed them the process of making chicken nuggets, you know, taking all the scraps, you know, putting them through this grinder thing, add liquid and oozing the stuff out. And
yeah, mommy, we're the nuggets.
Shaping it and stuff like that. And they said, unfortunately, the kids, when they asked who would pick what, the majority would still pick those nuggets, even though they knew that they actually after even having seen how they were made, and knew that they weren't really real. So I think it's an education process, right?
It's an education process, and it can happen a lot of different ways. I'll go into schools, and I'll teach the kids, and they'll go home, and they'll upset their parents, and the parents will come back to me angry and say that my child's saying that everything I bought, I'm a bad parent for feeding them, you know, and we can't have Pop-Tarts and waffles for breakfast, and I'm doing a better job, and it turns into a little bit of emotional issue, but I hold my ground because it's so important that, you know, kids 8, 10, 12 years old should not be having heart attacks and strokes like they are today. Didn't happen in the 50s.
Yeah.
Diabetes shouldn't be happening, especially type 2. And I just attended a lecture on this last weekend down in Irvine. We're the past president of the Atlanta Medical Center, CDC, infectious disease, number one guy in the country in his field, was talking about when all this started. And he said 1946. That's when the prosperity began and convenience began. And we all wanted the best for our kids, so we started overloading them with stuff in boxes, bottles, and cans.
You know, I got to get specific about a couple different things. One, just in general, you know, you're talking about Pop-Tarts and stuff like that. Are you telling parents that they should never, ever allow their kids to have anything?
I knew you were going to ask me this question.
What is your rule of thumb on this?
I eat Pop-Tarts. No. You know, I say make you get to decide whether you want to win or lose the war each day. There's a war going on when you're sleeping. Your body is burning fuel. Just staying alive. And the damage to every cell in your body is ginormous. And if we only knew what that was, with the stress, with the environment, with all of the stuff, the cleaning solutions, the fumes from carpet, exhaust, bad food, bad relationship, bad choices, you know, all the believing in advertisements and some of the bogus supplements that are on for sale today. There's even a six-hour energy that now that's for sale. Believe it or not, there's a six-hour energy.
So that would advertise, yeah.
Yeah, I just can't believe it. And, you know, people have died from making bad choices due to marketing programs that have no science behind them. And I've never supported anything that I've tried different things, but I've never recommended anything that didn't have published science behind it from medical universities. So I don't believe in the marketing scams that are out just to sell stuff. And I feel sorry for parents that have to feed their kids. That's my point.
You had mentioned a few minutes ago carbohydrates, and you know, we've heard about the high fat diets, the low carb diets, the high protein diets. One of the things that people constantly comes up in some of the things I read and some of the forums I go in and stuff. When you talk about fruits and vegetables, and you know, high quantities of consuming, you know, green leafy vegetables and stuff like that, there are people say that, you know what, that gives me a high carb content for the day, or high carb percentage for the day. We all know there's good carbs and bad carbs, but explain the difference with getting your carbs from that as opposed to, you know, starches and things like this.
I brought my Roger's thesaurus and all of the necessary paperwork to answer that. Your brain will die without carbs. You need to feed your... A kid needs over 50% of his diet to be healthy carbs, or he won't pass the test, he won't have any energy, he won't sleep, he can't think, his mother will think he's a bad kid, and all it is he's not getting enough of the right food. 95% of the Ritalin and Concerta that's prescribed could be let go of if the parents knew what to feed their kids, and that's all documented, and it's not a theory. So a carb is simply something that your body breaks down for fuel. There are different fuel sources, proteins, fats, carbs, and you need to get a balance of those in your diet every day. Starches and simple refined starches are what kills us, you know. Too much beer, too much white flour, you know. When you eat a piece of bread, make sure that the first ingredient on the bread is grain instead of flour. It can say brown bread, doesn't mean a thing. It can say whole wheat bread, doesn't mean a thing. Look at the ingredients. They can lie on the wrapper, but they can't lie on the ingredient list. So that helps the parents. You know, I'll go into a school and or just sit around with a bunch of folks and say, let's take a look at healthy carbs. You can eat all the fruits and vegetables you want, knock yourself out, and you will actually repair muscle tissue during exercise so you don't even need to recover if you get enough of that. So the recovery happens during exercise, and the brain will be fed. The brain doesn't store any energy. It's 30% of your body's intake of carbohydrates and fuel and energy. And it doesn't save anything. So you need to constantly feed the monster. Otherwise, you'll fall asleep in class and you won't remember the play on game day. It ain't going to work. So carbs, fruits, vegetables, the starches, like the difference between a sweet potato or a yam and a baked potato, night and day. Eat the yam. Usain Bolt, when he said, what makes you run so fast? He was kind of jousting a little bit when he said, he held up a yam, and he goes, it's these. Well, he's right. And it's not a mystery. And the U.S. government gives the kids a break and calls ketchup and French fries food.
That's a vegetable serving.
Yeah, there you go.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing. I remember once the three most commonly eaten veggies in America. The first on the list was potatoes. We know how that happened. Yeah. French fries, potato chips, you know. And the second thing on the list was ketchup. I'm like, that isn't actually a vegetable.
Are you kidding me?
But they were qualifying. I was just in my head, man.
Yeah.
So that's the second most eaten vegetable is ketchup.
You got that right.
I wonder where I get myself a ketchup plant.
Exactly. What a gross up.
I want to grow some ketchup.
I know.
Everybody I know goes to Tom when they got nutrition questions. And you grew up, as an athlete. How important is combining the two, the fitness aspect and the nutrition aspect? Because we are all or nothing kind of folks. Lots of times, that's why we have all the quick fixes. People go, well, if I can take this pill and not have to work out, or I can do this and not have to do that, but I got a feeling it's a combination of the two.
You got a feeling. Yeah. Well, there are a number of great articles. The one I like is, if you're not eating right, you have no business exercising. And I did a sequel to that article, and that was Stanford University Biochemistry. And I got a copy of the article, and I'll give it to you. It's 3 or 4 pages of detail of why that's true. Because your body will eat itself whether you feed it or not. And it will devour connective tissue, internal organs, brain cells, all of this stuff. It will consume, for instance, the meatheads in the gym that think a recovery drink is 50 grams of protein.
You can't just do that. You can't do
an
isopure for
that. Yeah, that ain't getting it done, And I look at all the scams on the shelves at all of these musclehead stores where they're convinced all these guys that protein builds muscle, and they don't realize that a muscle is 78% water, and the rest of it, the muscle tissue integrity is determined by the amount of fruits and vegetables that retain the muscle mass and the protein integrity. And if you are getting enough of the right fats, the good omegas, and the plant food, that protects muscle tissue during exercise. So you don't have, and the study was completed at University of Graz, Austria, University of South Carolina, 3 different studies that showed the same thing. Those people that had their 15 to 20 servings of fruits and vegetables, if they're an athlete, had zero damage. Called protein carbonyls, damage to measured protein muscle tissue fiber residues circulating in their blood if they had enough fruits and vegetables in their bloodstream. If they didn't, they didn't fully recover. So if you're a professional athlete or you're an Olympic athlete, or you want your professional career to last, or if you want your amateur career to last, and you want more than just being good on race day and saying, I did it in high school, and you want to have fun when you're my age and get out there and do stuff, then you better pay attention, because not only will your athletic career be over too soon, you're gonna be hurting before it's time.
A couple quick questions. Did you ask something?
No, okay. Good, man.
A couple things. Because people hear a lot of things, and you hear all these different things about, you just touched on good fats, and you hear, you should get, avocados, and then you hear, certain nuts, and then I hear you should take a fish oil, but not cod liver oil. You should get unless it's an Icelandic cold cod or this kind of stuff. How does one keep from being confused? That's question number one. And the next question I'm going to ask down the road, I want to talk about is label reading, which you touched on also. But let's talk about the good fats and the good oils and things like that.
I always like to reference people that are smarter than me that I learned from. Udo Erasmus. He's got a great book, Fats That Heal, Fats That Kill. I think it's the single best book ever written on how to keep a fat healthy, what's a good fat to start with, and how much do you need. I own the book, and it's dog-eared, and I encourage everybody to read it. He is a world-renowned expert in his field. And, you know, cold pressed and all the buzzwords that are out there, you know, closer to the source is better. But getting enough of the right stuff, but not too much. You know, it's, you don't want to overload the fats. You want enough every day, but not too much. And, you know, that's a different discussion. But I would suggest everybody read that book. And, you know, it's not a scary book. He talks to regular folks. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to read it. So a good fat, get your omega-3s. Keep them in the refrigerator, just like you keep your nuts in the refrigerator. Because those fats go rancid, yeah. Right? So keep them cool. And you don't need to eat a lot of nuts. Don't eat the whole jar of Costco peanuts to go with your Belgian beer. So fat is fat, and you want to minimize the amount of fat just to keep the damage to the fat at the lowest level possible, so it doesn't stick to your arteries and give you a compromise later on with a stroke or a heart attack. Because it's not the amount of fat that you have in your bloodstream, it's the amount that adheres to your walls. So LDL won't kill you, but if it's sticky because you don't have enough plant food in your diet, then you're in trouble. Yeah. You can have LDL of 200 and it is harmless, because it produces all kinds of great hormones and it's a great liver catalyst, and you know, it keeps you alive. But you need to make sure that you don't let the free radicals compromise the integrity of the LDL, and you want to keep it as low as possible.
So what do you say to the people that say, well, you don't want to have fats because fats make you fat?
Fats make you fat.
Right.
Well, fats are a good fuel source. So if you don't have enough fat, you're missing a fuel source, you're missing brain fuel, and your joints are going to start hurting, all right? You're going to have nerve damage, all right? And you're not going to pass the test if you're a kid. So good fats are essential. Good carbs are essential. Healthy proteins are essential. So really, what's the secret? There's no shortcuts. Move your body every day. Drink half your body weight in ounces of water every day. More than that, if you exercise, make 70% of your plate fruits and vegetables. You don't need more than 4 to 6 ounces of protein at any one meal. If you're not a vegetarian, if you are a vegetarian, you know, eat a ton of beans and apologize to your friends. So, yeah, there's. It's if it looks like food, if it looks like food, if it swims, flies, grows out of the ground, if you could hunt it, fish it, or pick it, and it has a minimal amount of ingredients on the label, chances are it's food.
There's so much talk about the right. Okay, we've talked about types of food, the right preparation for foods, whether it's better to eat raw, whether it's better to eat steamed, whether it's better to you know, you don't want to cook all the good stuff out of food. What is your rule of thumb, and how do you, you know, when you talk to people and people ask you, well, how should I prepare my greens or my veggies? What is the optimum way to do that?
I'm gonna give a restaurant in Newport Beach a plug. It's called 118. Yeah, and there's a reason that, you know, why they named it 118. Everything over 180 degrees destroys the effectiveness of the enzymes, which is the reason why you break down, absorb, make the most out of your food. And I eat cooked food. And I also eat raw food. I blend, not juice, but I blend my meals to make a full advantage of the fiber, both the soluble and insoluble, in the first half of my day. And I take a squeeze of fresh lemon and put it in some warm water. And first thing I do when I wake up in the morning to kind of balance some of the acid dumping that your body does when you're sleeping at night, so get that alkaline shift going on. So to help that early dumping of toxins. And then I take my shake. I put a scoop of my meal replacement in and throw my I use Juice Plus because it's raw food. and have been for 15 years. The only thing out there with research, that's the only reason they take it. And I get that going for two meals a day, and then if I do eat something, I'll steam my vegetables lightly to where they're crunchy. And if it's 118, well, I got my backup. I got my raw food in a capsule. And make the most, because the enzymes help make the most of the food that you've cooked. So I get the maximum benefit from my American meal. And that's the way I mix it up. Not everybody can eat all raw, because it'll be abusive to your system. Not everybody's ready for it. And you always have to ask somebody if they have IBS or acid reflux or Crohn's or whatever their deal is, because if you ask them to do raw food, they will stab you. And it could be a happy day for them. They're gonna, the very things that create them discomfort are the things that heal them, and they have to start lightly and work up to it.
Okay. When let's touch on label reading. You kind of hit on it. You said you know the first ingredient in your bread should be grain. What does one look for when they read labels? I see people in the grocery store. I see some people just go and grab stuff off the shelf. I see some people that everything they pick up, it must take them hours to shop, because everything they pick up, they read the label.
Right.
But I also heard that as a whole, we pretty much eat the same 26 foods each week. Whatever you shop for each time.
Or your favorite two fruits and vegetables.
Exactly.
Right.
But what are your rule of thumb on reading labels?
Two areas. Number one, if it says supplement facts, leave it on the shelf. Nobody gets hurt. If it says nutrition facts, then you can begin to read and be your best judge. And the fewer ingredients it has below the mandatory FDA graph where it says nutrition facts, where it'll say fats, protein, carb, etc., you want that fiber to be as high as possible, unless it's meat, because meat and eggs don't have any protein. Or pardon me, meat and eggs don't have protein. They don't have any fiber. Right. And so you don't look for chicken, fish, or eggs to give you your fiber. So an adult needs between 40 and 50 grams of fiber every day. He doesn't get that from eating his ham and cheese sandwich. It ain't happening. And the iceberg. A double decker. Now you're talking.
That extra piece of bread.
I'm right in line with you. In-N-Out Burger. So you want to kind of make sure that you got a combination of soluble and insoluble fiber. One kind of cleans out your bloodstream, and the other keeps your colon clean, right? So you need both, and you need 40 to 50. So the fiber is where I usually go first, and then I look at the grams of sugar in whatever they're trying to sell me. Because if you're reading a label, it's in a box or something that's been through, processed, and stuck in a box, right? You don't see a label on an apple. You don't see a label on broccoli. You don't see, it's all in there. You don't have to worry about what's in there. The ingredients in an apple are apple. The ingredients in broccoli are broccoli. So there's 25,000 known nutrients in fruits and vegetables, and there's 13 known vitamins. You can take a multivitamin to make up for what you don't eat. Ain't going to work.
What about enriched? I mean, a lot of stuff says enriched.
Enriched, you put
enriched flour, enriched
vitamin D,
yeah.
Mandatory, whatever.
Yeah.
Here's what I just heard the president of the Atlanta Medical Center say on Saturday, with emphasis. He gave a vegetarian and a meat eater's diet. Okay. D3, sunshine vitamin. Okay. Dairy's not your best choice. Right? It's inflammatory. So, get your D3. Immune system booster, cancer fighter, all the things that it does that you don't have to worry about. Every oncologist knows that you need D3. And the average dose that they recommend is about 4,000 units a day. And B12. Well, guess what? B12 comes from your typical meat family. But if you're a vegetarian, you're eating fruits and veggies, you got to get your B12 from somewhere. Well, the way to get around that is under the tongue with your B12. If you take a B12 supplement and you're not getting an injection, the B12 only has about 10 to 11 inches of your colon to be absorbed, the small intestine to be absorbed. And you're going to miss that with an oral B12. It's a waste of your money, waste of time, waste of the digestive process. Ain't going to do you any good, most likely. So put it under your tongue, and you're going to get maximum benefit if your main source of your food is stuff that grows out of the ground. So D3, B12, omega-3s, fruits and vegetables, and you're good to go. There you go.
I know that you eat a lot of fish, a lot of salmon.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on red meats? And another thing that always comes up in these discussions are organ meats. So let's talk about that a little bit.
I don't eat any organ meats. Love liver and onions. But I'm not eating the toxic waste dump of the human body. Ain't happening. Love it, but ain't eating it. A lot of reasons for that. And you just have to trust me that you don't want to go there. Even if something is grass-fed, the water runoff and all of the pharmaceutical stuff that is in our water table that is going into our animals and even our plants, that is concentrated in a liver and concentrated in cow, okay, not counting the stuff that they add, that they get away with, you don't want. There's a reason, and you can look into the science of it, why the average male sperm production is going down, all right? The foods that the cows are eating are all genetically modified. And the plants that they're using to feed the cows that are genetically modified are killing the bees, which are now... we're losing bee population,
right,
which is a whole other problem. So... back to the animal products. If animal products are going to cause you nothing but high cholesterol, heart disease, and all of the other ensuing long-term problems and attacks, so to speak, which aren't attacks at all, they're just accumulation of what you did your whole life. And, you know, we just had a heart attack in our family over Christmas holiday.
Yeah.
Now he's starting to listen. 55 years old. I think I'll start listening. And, you just hope that somebody will go to a plant-based diet and eat fish every once in a while. I know people, I'm not a pure vegetarian, but it's real important. You don't want to give your body... any more susceptibility to having stuff stick to your arteries and then have an eruption when you'd least expect it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the happy note.
Actually, time's just flying by. Did you have
some... Nope, I'm good, man.
Let's take a quick break and then come on back and wrap this up. You're listening to Swoopster on the Talk Story Radio Network. We're here with Tom O'Keefe. And let's take a quick break, listen to Acidic, and be back after this.
I lost my time, oh, I know race. This year, firefighters like Fire Chief James Hall will battle wildfires around the country in hopes of containing them. But firefighters can't do it alone.
A single ember that escapes from a wildfire can travel more than a mile, where it can ignite and destroy your home and community.
Get fire adapted. Learn simple steps you can take now to reduce wildfire damage later at fireadapted.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council. Learn more at fireadapted.org.
Did you know that birthday parties help build confidence in kids?
Yeah. Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Oh, totally. Did you know that friendly kids have more friends?
Everybody knows that.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Talk Story Radio.
This is Parker Ainsworth. You're listening to Swoop's World, where things are awesome all the time. Remember that. Peace.
Mama driving, don't know why she's crying out again.
And welcome back to Swoop's World on the Talk Story Radio Network, as well as AM 1670 Dewberry Jam Community Radio. We're here live with our guest, Tom O'Keefe. Welcome back to the show, Tom.
Welcome back yourself.
Now, you were talking during the break. You mentioned that there's a couple of things you want to touch on. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about this. You were talking about alkalinity.
Yeah, there's a big, I don't know, I can't think of another word. Alkalinity has almost become a joke. You know, the fruits and vegetables you eat every day determine the alkalinity of your body. Drink plenty of water. No one thing is going to... Alkalinity keeps your body healthy. Cancer can't survive in an alkaline environment. Cancer thrives in an acidic environment. Okay? Cancer thrives on sugar. Okay? Cancer thrives in a low-oxygen environment, which means exercise is good for you. Pushes oxygen through your system. So low sugar, alkaline diet, and all these meatheads in the gym, which I used to be one, think that more protein is better. Just glug down that protein, right? Well, protein's acid. It's acidic. All protein is acidic. So you need to balance it out with alkalinity, which is raw fruits and vegetables. And the athletes are starting to get the picture. Even the MMA guys, they're all going vegetarian. And that's a buzzword in that community, you know.
MMA or vegetarian.
And so that's something, that's one of the myths I want to dispel. You know, there's no amount of water that you can drink that's going to, you know, convert your body to alkaline pH. You got to eat the fruits and vegetables. And if you want to detox your body or cleanse your colon, eat your fruits and vegetables, and you do it every day. You don't have to go in for an expensive colon cleanse or drink some stupid concoction that wipes out all the good bacteria. You know, just do it every day.
Let me touch on one other thing before I want to talk about how you assure yourself that you get the right amount each day. But superfruits. Is it the goji berry? Is it the acai berry? Is it the blueberries? I mean, what are superfruits? And
the myth has been dispelled. There are no superfoods. They keep finding out. You know, the acai berry from Brazil, that's been touted as, oh, the miracle food. They found it under a rock, in a tree trunk somewhere. Well, guess what the foods are that the Brazilians think are absolutely superfoods. It's blueberries from the United States of America. So it's the latest fad and the craze. All berries are good for you. Get as wide a variety as possible every day. There's no superfood. What they all do together is far more advantageous to the human body than what any one of them will do. So it isn't blueberries, and it's not the acai berry, it's not the goji berry. They're all good. And the more wide variety of different colors you get in your diet every day, the more ammunition you have for every cell in your body to say, I need that one, I need that one. We all have different needs, and so does every cell in our body. So there are no superfoods. It's everything.
You mentioned Juice Plus earlier.
Yeah.
And, you know, I take Juice Plus, and I wouldn't even know about it if it hadn't met you about 6 years ago. But tell us a little bit about how you got started taking Juice Plus and why you take Juice Plus.
I didn't see the benefit in getting more fruits and vegetables in my diet way back when. I thought that there was something wrong with my training regimen or something wrong with, or I thought I was just getting older and that's what happened. And my wife's doctor made her take Juice Plus, and she found that she had cancer. And I started paying more attention at that time, and he said, "You've had cancer for quite some time." And he goes, "There's a reason why it's not progressing." And so I started to get a little diligent about, you know, maybe I got to find out what's behind this. And then I took a look at UCLA and Georgetown and Vanderbilt and the different BYU and the different studies that were voluntarily done to see that are these fruits and vegetables, and they do good things in the human body. And all the answers were consistent throughout the world, regardless of where the study was done. And I thought, I don't know if this will do any good, but my wife tells me to do it, so I'm going to do it. And I'm diligent, and I do my scientific assessment to the best of my ability. And I know some universities that I can trust. And so I say, you know, at least it's better than anything else I can find out there. And I started doing that about 1998. And it's been personally remarkable for me, but it has changed the lives of my whole family and my close friends and thousands of people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's my cop-out way of making sure I get the guaranteed fruits and vegetables I need every day.
So you take that instead of eating the fruits and vegetables every day?
No, I probably get 20 servings of raw plant food every day. I eat Swiss chard and kale and beets and cabbage and spinach and everything else in my blender, and I eat it every day. I get more fruits and vegetables in my blender before Juice Plus than anybody I know. And then I add it to my diet to make sure I get a good stream every day, because I've seen the benefit. And I sleep a whole lot better than I did before I started doing it.
We have about 5 minutes left, and I want to touch on another thing that you mentioned earlier. You just mentioned again, you said you get it in your blender. You know, you hear people talk about blending, and, you know, you get the fiber with it, and you hear people talk about juicing, which is just the juice extract. Do you do both? Is one better than the other? Have you experienced both?
Top people recommend juicing is messy. It was always a good idea to juice. Juicing was always a good idea. Extract the essence of the fruits and vegetables and get them down, but you miss the fiber, and there's actually good nutrients that are locked into the cellulose, into the fiber. So you want to get the fiber. So I like it all, so I blend instead of juice. And I don't like to miss anything. And I don't care how chunky it is. Down a hatch. Down a hatch. The worse it tastes, the better it is. But I actually get a good blend going on. I have a formula I've been using for a long time, and actually I've shared that with some of the like the U.S. rowing team and some other athletes that have game changer. You can see the results they got from the sustained energy they had from changing their diet.
You know, last question I have for you is, just kind of give a tip to people. I know a lot of people out there say, well, I really want to do better, or I really want to, you know, make these steps. Seems like it could be costly. They can't afford it. What can people do? What are some baby steps people can take to turn things around and try to do better nutritionally?
That's the best question you've asked all night. And I'm glad you asked it, because I forgot to start with this. Heartfelt-wise, everything is a decision. You have to decide what it is in your life that is worth you taking better care of yourself. If your reason isn't big enough, find one. If you have a grandchild, like I do, if you have a a wife or a daughter or close friends. Like, I hope me being your friend is a good enough reason for you to take better care of yourself. So, and I'm not joking. If your reason in it isn't big enough, find one, because the tools to eat right aren't the problem. Everybody knows what they are. Do you have the scone and the double latte, or do you have something that's a little bit better for you? So if your reason isn't big enough, get a bigger reason, and the tools are right there. And I'll help anybody, you know, eat six times a day, eat every 3 hours. Start your morning off with that squeeze of lemon and some warm water and throw it down, and then have your shake. Take a Juice Plus every day. It's the best insurance policy I know of. Guaranteed to be what it is. Simple. Try not to eat after 6 o'clock at night. And if you want to sleep well, sleep is kind of a big deal, because if you're not getting a good amount of sleep, your body doesn't repair the damage you did to it all day long. So you really need to find a way to get good sleep. And nutritionally, there's ways to do that. I mentioned one. But believe it or not, I learned from a well-known registered dietitian that bananas, even though they have sugar in them, bananas have some good sleep-inducing qualities. So eat a little bit of a banana, and you'll be surprised.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And your website is nutritionenterprises.com?
I'm not going to advertise my website. If somebody wants to get a hold of me, they can get a hold of you.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Tom, I want to thank you for joining us tonight and sharing your wealth of knowledge, which I always enjoy talking to you about this stuff and other things, of course. But it's always great to hear you explain a lot of these questions.
And Keith, I'm glad you care, because we need to have more of this kind of discussion going on. If I can close with this, our country would be a lot better off financially and every other way if people would believe that they could take better care of themselves. It would make a difference.
Excellent.
Yep.
You listen to Swoops World on the Talk Story Radio Network, as well as AM 1670 Dewberry Jam Community Radio. We're going to listen to Corey Joseph Clark, and then we'll be back after this. Thanks a lot, Tom.
All right.
Still a little wind. it's time for Brewskies, our beer tasting segment right here at Swoop's World Late Night, sponsored by DrinksWineSpirits.com. So grab yourself a glass, pour yourself a brew, and join us right now for Brewskies, sponsored by DrinksWineSpirits.com.
Alrighty, welcome to another Wednesday night beer tasting. Here we go. Tonight we're trying Rogue's Dad's Little Helper Black IPA. And this is a Rogue Brewery from Oregon. And here's what they have to say about their own beer. A black IPA is a little unusual, so listen up. We got Dad's Little Helper Black IPA is deep mahogany in color with roasted malt and hop aromas and dense creamy head. It enters the palate with intense hop flavor and coats the tongue with a rich maltiness. I was looking for an alcohol content. I don't see it, no, but we're, you know, I don't know.
There it is.
You saw it? That's Play-Doh and IBA, IBUs. And no, anyhow, so we don't know, but, you know, it should be good. Rosanna, so let's try it up.
Who's up? Peter, you up?
I think I might be. Well, I'm liking this. Rogue is a good brewery. They do some crazy weird stuff sometimes that I just can't get behind, like bacon flavor beer. That being said, I like this IPA, a black
IPA. You can
IPA.
Offset the bacon if you have enough whole fruits.
Yeah, maybe, maybe. Black IPAs are kind of a, they're almost a made up category that Americans came up with when they wanted to start tweaking the original IPA category. And so in that sense, they're a little odd. But I like them. I like them a lot. And this one is, it works for me. I can definitely, although it is more of a brown than a black, I would say that. Oftentimes when you have a black IPA, it is literally like the color of a stout. And this is not the color of a stout. So that, if I'm going to be nitpicking, that's where I'm nitpicking.
You're always looking done.
Glass half full, man.
Half full.
Pretty soon this glass is going to be half empty.
We messed up because we usually let our guests go first. So, Tom, go ahead. Tell us what you think about it.
I'm not an IPA guy. This passes the test. Yeah. I am not an IPA. I didn't, you know, I go, okay, I'll taste it. But it was better than I figured. Yeah.
I think this is downright delish. This is a good beer. You know what? It doesn't, generally like darker beers anyway, but we drink a lot of IPAs here that we love each week. But I like the taste of this. I think it's got a good feel, good body, and everything. And I love the smell of it too.
Mm-hmm.
It smells really good.
You know, I got to tell you, I followed in Peter's footsteps. I went to the Stone Brewery on Sunday. I went down to San Diego this past weekend for a quick little turnaround trip. And popped into the Stone Brewery on the way back up.
It was awesome.
And while I was there, I actually for the first time had the Stone Sublimely Self-Righteous Ale, which is their black IPA,
mm-hmm.
and or at least one of the ones. They probably have made others, but this is a little different take on it than what they do. This one's a little maltier,
mm-hmm.
But it this is good stuff, man.
Yeah.
I gotta say, those Oregonians, they do some good work.
Yeah.
The Rogue fellas, this is probably my favorite Rogue beer that I've had.
Yeah, we've had a couple. This is very good.
The Dead Guy Ale is pretty good. Yeah. Now, I'm looking at their list. I'm on the brewery page. I'm looking at their list, and I'm not even sure I want to try this, but I'm intrigued. Yellow Snow IPA.
Don't eat the yellow snow, man. Dude.
Oh, my goodness. Oof. We've had the Russian Imperial Stout from them.
We have had the Russian Imperial Stout.
It's a good brewery.
We've had the Dead Guy Ale, too.
Dead Guy Ale. Yeah. And then we tried one of the other ones, like one of the sweet ones that we didn't like. They got the Voodoo Bacon Maple Ale, which I have not tried and have absolutely no interest in that.
Bacon Maple.
And then we had one that was just sweet. Oh, yeah, the Hazelnut Brown Nectar.
Yeah, that
was a well-made beer.
It was sweet.
Yeah.
Tom, we rate these on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being best.
You see, my taste buds aren't IPA taste buds, so I'm not going to grade this as high as some of my Belgians, right?
That's all right. That's acceptable.
Right. So I'll give this a 6.5.
6.5.
Yeah.
Still good.
Peter.
Well, I'm really liking this. I'm going to give it an 8.5.
Ooh. Let's see, I'm right there with you, but I didn't add the half. I'm going to solid 8.
All right, all right.
What did Tom give?
I'm 6.5.
6.5, 8.5, 8.
Okay. Well, we come in with a 7.
I could be nice to myself and give it a certain number, but this is an 8 for me. So
excellent.
You guys, you said 6.5. You said 8.5. You said 8.
That's 31, right? That's
31. Yeah. That's 31. So that would give us a nice even pain in the backside. Yeah. 15 plus 16. We're crunching some numbers here. That's going to give us a 7.75 for our average here.
7.5.
For four gentlemen rating this.
4 times 8 is 32 minus 1.5, right?
Hmm?
4 times 8 is 32 uh-huh. minus 1.5 for me.
He didn't, huh? If I gave it a half.
You gave it a half?
Yeah.
8.5.
Okay.
So just minus 1.
Minus 1?
Yeah.
There you go.
So 7.75. I stand by my original statement.
We had you thinking for a moment.
You did. You did. It's true.
A lot of thought went in that score.
Yeah.
Without that half, it would have been a real screw. 7.625.
There you go.
There you have it. Another edition of Brewskies, sponsored by DrinksWineSpirits.com. That's Brewskies, sponsored by DrinksWineSpirits.com. Go there and sign up for the Beer of the Month Club, and you too can taste each week. You can also click on the Brewskies link right there on the side of the page, right there on SwoopsRoad.com.
Yeah.
Bone, you just mentioned that you did a little quick turnaround trip down to San Diego this weekend.
I did.
We've been all right. How's the softball team? You guys have a game Tuesday night?
We had a game last Thursday, and that was our first win in quite a while, actually.
Woo-hoo!
Felt good to sort of bust loose a little bit. We had a couple good innings. Racked up a nice, I think we won by 8 or 9 runs, which was nice because the last game before that we got...
Lost by eight or nine runs?
No, more than that. It was one of those games that got cut short. Oh, no, there was a mercy rule.
All right.
They met and exceeded their obligations under the mercy rule. So I think we lost by 12.
Oh, my gosh.
Kind of a whooping. But this last week, like I said, was a good week.
Well, are you ready to do your thing, or should we...
Sure, why not? There's plenty to talk about.
You know that sound? It's time for sports with T-Bone's Timeout. Or as we say it here, it's T-Bone's Timeout.
Woo! Good evening, folks. Happy Wednesday. Beautiful.
Happy Wednesday.
Beautiful to be back here in the studio. Nice to see Tom again.
That's right.
I haven't seen him in studio here in quite a while. Ran into him out in the wild recently.
You got a home makeover show or something?
Well, yeah. I mean, hey. Every now and then you just got to shake things up. Like you guys are going to be just downright impressed when you see the place where I live, because it used to be quite the bachelor pit.
You got before and after pictures?
Somewhere, yeah. Yeah, we actually have some before pictures. So,
what are we going to do about the
before pictures are a little tricky, though, because the lighting in there was pretty bad, so it doesn't quite show how dingy the walls and the carpet used to be.
The lava lamp before.
The lava lamp, that was like 8 years ago. All right, that was back in the dorm days. I did have one, but I mean, that's obligatory. You know?
What are we going to do? I still got one. The 777s, man. That's what I want to know.
I don't know, dude. I don't know.
We got to broadcast.
Put something on the schedule.
We're either going to do the Super Bowl or the March Madness, or we got to pick up a game, man.
Madness might be good because there will be games on during the week. But I mean, if you want to come over for the Super Bowl, we can do a live broadcast.
I got to see if we can get a hall pass.
That's right. I need a hall pass for that sort of activity.
It is a national holiday.
That's what
so,
I heard.
I mean,
my wife usually only watches one football game in the whole year. So
that's the one?
That's the one. So
okay, I guess next
See, now, I like to watch football games without the presence of a significant other. I would think that you could impart that little blessing on her, too. Let her know that it's better if she doesn't...
She only watches one a year. She needs to know everything that's going on. And as much as I... As little as I know about football, I am the expert.
Okay.
Hold on, though. Hold on.
You're a college... I mean,
No, but she wants to know, like...
High school quarterback.
No, I know how to play football, and I know the rules of football. What she wants to know is, Is that teammate? Is that player any good? Who's that? And I'm like,
what if? I don't know. What if we put together a cheat sheet for her, so that you don't have to be there with her?
That could possibly.
I mean, we could put together some pretty comprehensive info with some nice graphics, so it really pops.
All right. Well, Peter,
if we could do something that would all show up on our iPad, then that might make it all worth.
Oh, I could totally do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably already done. I mean, I would bet the NFL iPad app probably got some pretty good stuff to come up.
There
but,
you go.
Before you get rolling, I do have a message to pass on to you.
From?
I was in the chat room for the Night View show last night, and 420 Watch, he inquired as to why we don't have a table long enough for T-Bone. I responded that I was poor. We are a poor station, a poor show, but we're working our way through it. He just wanted to make sure he was concerned whether or not you were being punished.
It's not a poor thing. You know what it is? It's that T-Bone has the nicest kneecaps. And we like to show those off.
Come summertime, you'll see my kneecaps again. Come spring, another few weeks, and you'll see my kneecaps again.
I did say that you would be happy to know that somebody even gave them to
you. Yeah, that's actually, I'm honored.
Touched.
420 Watch is concerned about my well-being.
It is.
When can I ask T-Bone a question?
You can ask T-Bone a question right now.
Fire away, Tom.
I just think that there's a lot of humor in what the Lakers are doing right now. and the Lakers coach, can't even remember his name.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Mike D'Antoni.
He said the Lakers have officially turned over a new leaf. And he was in the papers today. That's his new mantra.
Because they've won two games in a row.
They won two games in a row. It's the new team. And they're playing together, and they like each other, and all the stuff that everybody says that they don't have.
All getting along.
What's your take?
I give it 3 days.
My take is that he does have... Okay, so I listened to his pregame interview yesterday, and...
You do homework? Because you don't really...
Well, no, I was driving. I mean,
it just came on.
Yeah, and I was listening to him talk before the game about, you know, what sort of stuff they're going to do defensively. And it was nice to hear that he actually does think about defense, because it doesn't usually show up in the results on the floor. But he gave a lot of lip service to the fact that team chemistry and the way that a group gels together is a long process, and that even before yesterday's game, he felt like they were really just starting to undertake that. So for him to now be saying that they've turned over a new leaf and they're all hunky dory, I think, is pretty entertaining, because
you can't like each other overnight.
No,
right?
No, absolutely right. Not. Especially with some of the
group of
the egos in that room. So
I've met some people in the bar that I really like that quickly, but you know, that's a different set of circumstances.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you went to sleep with her.
Yeah. I don't see. Black Mamba all of a sudden getting warm and fuzzy.
Yeah.
No, I think that, you know, some of the guys on that team that might have personalities that are a little overbearing, some of them maybe are
I like how you say some of the guys on that team.
Well, there are a couple. It's not just Kobe.
I was gonna say, have you seen that roster?
But you know, a lot of these guys were used to winning. In pretty dominant fashion, and I think maybe there is a good chance that some of these guys will have a light bulb click on and say we need to do things differently because
are they going to get Dirk and do a
I think that Dirk is the only sacred cow in Dallas's in their cupboard. Actually, yeah. I think they're willing to deal anything but Dirk, to be honest. I don't think the Lakers have anything. I mean, they could try to deal Powell for some of the pieces in place in Dallas.
But they'd have to do a 2-for-1.
Yeah, and I think that they have so much that they can't keep swapping parts out at this point. It's too late in the season to still be hoping to find the magic bullet. They need to just actually get in and do the hard work at this point. And if they're saying that they're committed to that process now, that's nice. But that process needed to start a long ass time ago for it to bear fruit in time to make a difference this season.
Some of the bench is impressive.
Oh, there's a ton of talent on that team. And this was one of the things that he said, that D'Antoni said in the pregame interview that actually made sense, was the fact that we might not have the best individual players on the floor all the time, but it's about how the pieces fit together, both in terms of what their strengths are on the court and in terms of chemistry off the court as well, too.
Well,
so I mean,
do you think the players respect D'Antoni yet?
No, I think that they can't. They don't respect him less than they respected Mike Brown. But that's not. That's a pretty low baseline
low
set.
Bar.
So,
that's a low bar.
I think that D'Antoni's record in the league prior to his experience with the Lakers this young season, at least for his time there, his record in the league speaks, especially considering that he was in the division with the Lakers for as long as he was. They're familiar with him. The guys that have been around for even a few years know that he's a good coach. I don't know. It's tough to gauge the temperature of that locker room right now. I mean, all we can see is the results and the sound bites that we get, and you know the canned sound bites that we get. So, I would love to be a fly on the wall in there just to get a better sense of where that team is at in terms of chemistry right now. But I'm still not a believer.
Once they realize the long
answer with a very short conclusion. I'm not a believer yet.
Once they realized that they're a veteran team, and there's a ton of guys on there with a lot of talent. Once they realize that they're older and slower and have to play smarter, they can probably make a run. And I think that's what they've done this week. I think they've realized that we can't outrun a gun. Oklahoma or the Clippers or guys like that. What we have to do is we have to play people like that smarter, and play our game and get them into our mix. And
slow the game down.
Yeah. Whether, go back to the old John Wooden four corner stall bullshit. Well stuff. I don't know if they're
it's gonna take a lot of humility from everybody in that organization.
Yeah.
If they're gonna try to make it work this season, I mean, they're looking at having to struggle pretty mightily to be an eight seed.
Yeah.
And it's going to take, like I said, just a lot of humility and a lot of willingness to adapt that they have not shown thus far.
As old as the team is, they got to make something happen this year.
If it doesn't...
Even if they make the playoffs, they're not going far. They're not going deep into the playoffs make the playoffs.
Just remember that old age and treachery will overcome youth and skill.
Except for the basketball court.
You better not be planning a trap door there. Right? I'm not even all that skilled. I am young. The Lakers, like I said, not a believer yet. A fan, but not a believer.
You one up me.
Oklahoma is a scary team.
I got to do a little bit every now and then.
Not a believer or a fan.
Isn't Miami playing Lakers tonight?
What is this going week? Is on in the NBA this evening?
I think the Kings.
Miami is playing Golden State right now.
I think the Lakers play on the weekend.
Miami is on the West Coast at the moment, but they're playing Golden State, and they are pretty well throttling Golden State right now, 75-44, midway through the third.
Holy
and LeBron has surpassed both 20,000 career points and 5,000 career assists on the evening.
All the night's work, they say.
Mm. Yeah. One of the very interesting little things I heard John Ireland talking about yesterday or the day before, I don't know, was LeBron's plans post-Miami and the fact that he and Dan Gilbert, the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers, have had conversations that border on tampering, but basically conversations to the effect that LeBron apologized to Gilbert and to the Cleveland region for the way he handled his exit and his ensuing decision to go to take his talents to South Beach a couple years ago at the behest of ESPN and the worldwide Mickey Mouse money-making machine, but he said he was sorry and that he handled it poorly, and Dan Gilbert said, oh, we forgive you, thank you, I just wanted you to say you were sorry, basically that kind of thing. It's very cute, very second grade, I mean, very warm and fuzzy feeling over the whole deal, but apparently he's expressed an interest to many of the folks in his posse that he would like to return to Cleveland, maybe after he's won another championship or two in Miami, and finish his career where it started, and go back home.
Then get inducted in a Miami uniform.
Yeah.
We've seen this
before. I've got to say that were he to join the Cavaliers in their current state, they would be a much more formidable team than they were when he left them. I mean, what they have in place now with Kyrie Irving and some of the other young talent there.
Yeah, if he stayed there, he'd still never have a ring.
Well, maybe. You know, maybe.
No,
Dan Marino didn't have a ring.
No,
I mean, different sport, I understand. But still, a lot of good players, great players even, don't get a championship because it's a team sport. And
that's true. And that's my point. That team is not going to get a ring.
You don't know that.
Not anytime soon.
Wow. Okay, let's get on to Pete Rose or Lance Armstrong.
Let's talk Lance.
Well, your brother has a
oh, don't worry, Blaze. We will talk about it. We will talk about this biggest non-story that is just... I'm amazed.
I hadn't heard anything about it.
Oh, my God. All right, we'll get there in a minute. But let's talk about Lance and Oprah first.
All right.
Oprah's relevant again for the first time in however long because she scored. She scored the biggest story that everybody already knew. Which was that Lance pissed dirty because, well, hey.
Actually, he did.
Yeah. Well, you're right. He bled dirty. All right. Even if they had to go back and retest the second sample
actually,
4 years later.
Actually, some of his urine has tested dirty.
Now.
It's tested now dirty, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
But
not at the time.
Not then.
But it's the same sample.
Yeah,
the B sample.
Lance Armstrong, 7-time Tour de France, not winner. After already having been blasted by the World Anti-Doping Association or the U.S. It was the U.S. one. Yeah, that's right. The big scathing report about the most sophisticated, professionalized doping ring in history. Lance having been a vehement denier of any wrongdoing throughout his entire career. Now that he's pretty much been taken down in every conceivable way, he's decided to come clean in the form of an interview with Oprah Winfrey. It's just...
I couldn't help but laugh when I saw that.
What about all the money he's going to owe all these people?
Well, here's the thing. I think the only one that has any merit is the one where he actually settled the case with whichever British paper it was over the libel case. Yeah, it was the one of the British papers. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. But he got money as a settlement because he was accusing this newspaper of libel because of their allegations
and
of
the
his
rules in England. Like, he would not, if that same thing had happened with a U.S. paper, he wouldn't even gotten that. Because the rules in England are so much different regarding that. There's a bigger burden of proof on the papers. I agree with you. He definitely stands to...
Well, and in England, if you shoot an invader in your own home, you go to jail, too. So they have different rules there.
A lot of different rules.
Whoa. Are you kidding me?
I wish I were, but I also...
I think that's because it's illegal to own a gun. Period. Well,
pretty much, yeah. Not entirely, but
whoa!
But
so
yeah,
if you shot someone. You shot him with something you shouldn't have had.
Yeah.
Well, we're in process.
I could be wrong,
right,
but
now,
I believe that's
so
the case.
Yeah.
Get ready.
We'll see.
Here
yeah,
we
I'm getting ready, man. I'm going out this weekend to do
it.
Some shopping.
Double barreled.
But yeah, Lance. One of the ones that really bothered me. Some minor bike tour somewhere in the country. I don't even remember where it was. Wants to recoup the costs that they paid him to appear in this bike race for 3 years, from 2009 to 2011.
Oh, that's
but they made money off of those races because he was there.
Yeah,
they're going to give all the money they made back to the paying customers,
like the
then they have no business seeking his money back.
Right, it rode through Virginia.
And that one was just a crock of crap. This is just somebody.
And that was a race that was basically, it was a regional race.
Yeah,
and
it was just a little pissant thing that
nobody
was,
paid any attention
just,
to.
It was just
and
a chamber
of
commerce
when he
kind
showed
of
up,
thing.
Race enrollment went from like 500 people to like 5,000 people. Yeah. And of course, the fees, their clearly, rates went way off.
Their investment paid off on their end, and now they're just trying to get their crap in the paper. They want to be part of the story.
So what about his foundation where everybody dumped money and they give? And
the foundation's raised $500 million.
You know, the foundation...
Stuff for cancer is remarkable.
The foundation is going to be fine.
It'll be fine.
I think the foundation's safe.
Livestrong, he was booted off the board of Livestrong whenever the story broke of the USADA report.
So he may not have to give too much back.
I think that, honestly, the libel case is the only thing that is probably going to... Everything else, the endorsement money he gave... I mean, the people that paid him to endorse their product one way or another or advertise for them, their advertising paid off. They got the return on their investment. So I don't see... Unless
to get prize money back.
Well, he might. Yeah,
I don't think the prize money is huge. I think you went. I think
I don't even know how much money they pay out in those things.
It's not like
I know that it's not enough to pay for the operation. So no, I know the advertising money is where all of the income is.
But he might have to give that back because
I would assume
some sort of prize.
I would assume
money.
For the Tour de France titles, he had to give that money back when they stripped him of the titles anyway. So I would bet that part's already settled.
Is going to look at the advertising money. Our sales jumped, and the defense attorney is going to say our sales jumped this much since the advertising era using Lance Armstrong. Is it, and they're going to say, okay, well, we'll give you the difference between what it jumped and what it didn't.
That's possible.
I mean, Trek is pretty damn happy they had him.
Yeah, all I can say is that it's just like Bud Selig didn't really care all that much about the steroid thing because baseball was on life support in 1997, and then all of a sudden in 1998, when these guys started knocking the ball over the fence left and right, people gave a crap about baseball again. And do you think that McDonald's regrets that they had that whole Big Mac thing going with Mark McGwire in St. Louis? No. No, because they made a crap load of money off of it right then in the moment. And that's all advertising is. Advertising gets stale in six weeks anyway.
Even a big campaign. And then they got to cut ties with them later.
Oh, yeah, and they get to play the moral high ground like Nike did with Tiger Woods and Michael Vick. And they get to play all the public relations games. It's all
–
and people are dumb enough to believe it all anyway. So no offense to all of our smart listeners out there, but the rest of the world is stupid.
Because, you know what? They strip him of his titles. It didn't – I think only one of those titles out of the seven went to the second place finisher. I think they
none of them because everybody them. Like everybody I mean, on the podium was
the closest was the fourth place or fifth place finisher.
There were two races where the fourth place finisher has never been tied to any steroid use
yet,
right? And then every one of the other ones, no, one was a fourth and one was a seventh. All the other ones, they have to go to like 12th or 15th find someone. So there were no winners.
The problem is with the sport.
In that sense. The problem is that sport,
you know,
for sure.
People go, well, he denied. Of course he denied.
So did all the other guys.
So everybody else, right? So they got caught.
and so are the other guys now.
Yeah. Right. So it's the problem, you know, they need to police themselves. And deal with that
when
you
start. Never going to happen on that.
No,
right? Because like you said, this goes way back. This goes back to
the first
bike race.
The first Tour de France took place. I think it's 1902 or something like that.
Drug were they taking?
Cocaine. And then they were using strychnine, which is a poison that will kill you. That's what's used to kill. That's rat poisoning. Strychnine, because it helped prevent the muscles from seizing up. And of course, all those guys all died in their like late 40s. Their racing career was over by 30 something, and then they all died in their late 40s. So these guys have always. And then when amphetamines came along, you know, they were using those. It's a sport that is just famous for being cheaters. You know, like the top guys have always found.
Well,
a way
and when you when you see head. When you see these guys race, like my roommate. Who has been on the show before, Jay Bro, he is a triathlete, or was, I mean, one's a triathlete, always a triathlete, I guess, right?
He's like a marine, huh?
Yeah, but, you know, when you have, like, the Ironman races and the big triathlon races and stuff, regular folks can race in these things, at least in most of the races, but you also have the professional guys in these same races, and when you look from the bottom of the field up to the top, there's a pretty consistent, you know, guy. As you move up, it's like, okay, this guy beat this guy by 12 seconds, and it goes up and up and up. And then all of a sudden, when you get up near the top, there's like a 5-minute gap. And then there's this upper band of folks. And now just, I don't care how much better the top class is, that gap is unnatural. It's understandable that there are people that are better than other people. You know, that's just part of humanity, is that we all have varying abilities. But training methods can only go so far in creating the next advancement. But for there to be, in only one spot that separates them from everybody else, for there to be that large of a gap, it's just a little suspect. And for folks who are part of the scene, you know, it's a pretty accepted fact that if you want to go...
And I'll tell you why. Having watched some of these elite athletes perform and compete, during the Olympics, during the 84 Olympics, I was working the 23rd mile of the marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And this group of...
Kenyans?
The leaders of the pack, the Kenyans... They literally blew past faster than most people I know could run 50 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And they're 23 and a half, 24 miles into the race.
Mm-hmm.
And as runners went by, it started to open up. Now, you talk about that gap between the super elite and then the rest of the pack. I don't think most performance-enhancing drugs give you that much of an edge. Just, you know, you look at a lot of people who...
5 minutes. 5 minutes in a 10-hour race.
It doesn't give you 5 minutes.
Well, I'm saying that, like, from what I have seen and looked at, this 5-minute gap exists, whether it's coming from that or not. But I mean, I just think that why aren't there people that are just a minute off of that? Of that level, you know, and why?
There are some reasons.
I mean, obviously, there are reasons in terms of the fact that somebody's made their entire life out of that thing. But
you're not, when you say a 5-minute gap, you're talking about between the majority of this crew and the majority of that crew. There's a few sprinkled in between in there that are a minute or two behind. But when you look at what most performance enhancing drugs do, it's about a fast twitch type stuff or bulking strength type stuff, and when you're talking those kinds of distances, I think it's giving you an edge of, you know, hundreds of a second, a couple seconds here and there, because even the when we talk about these guys who are coming in 12th place, the ones that are clean in the thing, they're right behind the 11th place guy, who's right behind the 10th place guy, who's right behind, you know what I'm saying? So I think it's, we're talking hundreds of a second, tenths of a second.
Here's my whole thing with all of this performance enhancing drug stuff, is that these guys were the best. When you look at baseball and cycling as two examples, and when you look at the prevalence of the problem in either field, you're still talking about the people who were the best at it, and it's just that, you know, a huge chunk of them were doing this, and it made them that much better than everybody else. And it all comes down to the fact that these are professional sports that we're paying to be entertained because we want to see stupid freak athletes that make us just that we're looking to have our common sense and our idea of what people are capable of shattered when we watch these sports.
Suspend our reality for just a little period of time.
Yeah.
When you start talking about like you said, Major League Baseball didn't give a crap because it was going downhill. Because
they
needed
a. And who? Raise your hand if you watched the Tour de France before 1999. Yeah. Right? And all you folks out there listening, raise your hand if you watched the Tour de France before 1999.
Big deal is because this American guy won it 7 times.
Yeah, because he crapped all over their European party and.
Same reason Schramsberg champagne isn't allowed back in France anymore.
You cannot call it champagne because it is not. Yeah. People want to be entertained and they get it, and it's all about the moment anyway. That's why when when, let's say, USC's national championship was vacated, did it do any good to try to say that somebody else won it? No, because that it's about the moment. And, you know, when Long Beach Little League team won the or lost in the championship of the Little League World Series to the Taiwanese team, and then they found out later that half the Taiwanese kids were 15 or whatever.
Yeah.
Did those kids from the Long Beach team, did they really feel like, oh, yeah, we won it because later on some league office told them that they won it? No, they went out the next year and did it on their own. But, I mean, it's not the same thing. So, you know, everything that we try to do retroactively is just a friggin' waste of time. If we can't catch them in the moment, it's because we didn't want to. Because we wanted that moment how it was. So.
I firmly believe that Pete Rose did not take performance-enhancing drugs.
he just
bet on his team or somebody else, right?
He only bet on his team to win.
To win. Now, I'm saying that guy should be in the Hall of Fame, because I don't think anybody, you know, I was a Clemente, Aaron, Mays coming in with his shirt all ripped up, sliding into second base and home plate. And Pete Rose played the game with reckless abandon, the most hits ever.
And that one, I don't think that one's in any danger.
And that guy should be in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I'm right there with you.
Every day I'm a hustling. He's got this shirt. Pete Rose has this because he's on a reality show now. He's got this shirt of him.
You know, sliding in a second.
It's Cincy jersey. No, he looks like he's running the base. And it says, every day I'm a hustling.
Charlie Hustle?
Oh, man. Yeah,
he's actually pretty freaking funny.
I think Pete Rose has a better shot of getting into the Hall of Fame than Barry Bonds does.
Yeah. I think they both are in the Hall of Fame.
Well.
Say
it. And neither of us get to do a damn thing about it either way.
we got to work on it.
I could write some letters. We know how that works. Yeah. Maybe if I write a letter to them, they'll bring me up for the press conference about whether they're gonna let them in or not.
Not a letter writer. Jump on in and talk about it on Wednesday nights. We'll take a quick break and say goodbye to Tom. You listen to Swoops Radio on the Talk Story Radio Network and AM 1670 Dewberry Jam Community Radio out of San Antonio, Texas. We're going to take a quick break. Come back to some more T-Bone's Time Out. This one here is... who are we going to listen to, man? Rasmus Stewart, Smoke the Hookah. Back up to this.
We started out so innocently. We learned to take what we need. Forgive us for our greed, let's dance. We smoke the hookah and dance. We smoke the hookah and dance. Our own worlds, not built in a day. In time stands still, for no one they say. Yes, you will pass the same way. Dance. We smoke the hookah and dance. Confusion, great prophecy. Fall now to their knee. Watch their palms bleed. Dance. We smoke the hookah and dance. We smoke the hookah and dance. But in a time of man-made disease, fall like leaves from the trees. Now there's only frozen streams. Dance now. So why don't you dance now? So why don't you dance now? We smoke the hookah and dance. Black and white, it's cut and dried. Show me a minority who hasn't suffered or cried. Living in a land where freedom calls. Dance. We smoke the hookah and dance. We smoke the hookah and dance. We smoke the hookah and dance. In a land of poverty, the hungry now feed off of their dream, waiting for the world to turn. Dance. We smoke the hookah and dance.
I smoke the hookah and dance.
Thanks for asking, but I'd rather not send you nude pictures. I'm camera shy. I already said no. Under my clothes, I'm a robot. My webcam is broken. I'm worried they'll get passed around school. I have a rash. I have nudophobia. I have lizard skin. I'm a vampire, so I don't show up in pictures anyways. Your badgering has really killed the mood.
When someone is pressuring you to do something you don't want to, how many ways can you say no before they get the message? Let us know at thatsnotcool.com. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. Think before you drink. Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Talk Story Radio.
This is Raspin Stewart. You're listening to Swoop's World.
We started out so innocently. We learned to take what we need. Forgive us for our greed. Let's dance. We smoke the hookah and dance.
Yeah, welcome back to Swoop's World, the Talk Story Radio Network. And I'll tell you a couple quick good friends of Swoop's World before we get back to T-Bone's time out. SoCal, all the detail in the spa where Brandon Williams was after the dirt. Cars, trucks, SUVs, and boats. He has the best prices in town. Give him a call. He will come to you if you're in the Southern California area. He also does carpet cleaning, and he does it both real well. So give him a call, 310-997-5660 or 562-856-8121. Or send him an email at so.calmds@gmail.com. For all your fitness needs, check out Powerhouse Fitness. Jack Nunn, good friend of the show. He will take care of you if himself or one of his trainers. They have indoor rowing, Zumba, boot camp, spin classes, personal training, and much, much more. Two locations, 5750 Boathouse Lane and 1347 Loma Street. Website is powerhousefit.com or give him a call, 562-688-1716. Let them both know that Swoop's World sent you. And at Powerhouse Fitness, your first week will be free. And Rob is ragging on my little ratty pullover here, which is supposed to look like this and not like a little Argyle little bitch sweater that he has.
Just saying.
But, you know, I could take it, man. Whatever. What's he going to do? Any guy in an Argyle sweater, I'm not worried about kicking my butt, right?
That's right. Probably got Argyle socks to match.
Penny loafers. And back to T-Bone's timeout.
Well, we talked a little bit about basketball. We talked a little bit about drugs and sports and cheating and whatever. Let's talk football for a few minutes. And by that, I mean until my segment ends. Well, I'm not going to lie. The very end of it is where I'm going to blend football and tabloids, because that's after that we go into the news. So,
oh, like Rob ran away, man.
I just said, man. We scared him off.
What a quitter. But, you know, we had some more playoff football this past weekend, and because I was in the car for large swaths of Saturday, I listened to some of it on the radio, and I tell you what, if you are tied with 31 seconds left and two timeouts at home, will you take a knee and run out the clock?
No. But apparently somebody did.
So the first game on Saturday was in the AFC. And this was the Baltimore Ravens visiting the number one seed Denver Broncos of the AFC. And they played it even, 14 points apiece in the first quarter, 7 points apiece in the second, third, and fourth quarters, to go into the end of regulation tied 35-35. But it looked like the Broncos had it sewn up, and then the Ravens score a ridiculous touchdown of improbable circumstances. They actually scored with what I thought was too much time left, which is a funny conundrum in football, because you have this two-minute drill, and in their case it was a less than two-minute drill. And they, you know, you're doing everything you can to score, but you want to still use most of that time left so that you don't give the other team a chance to screw you right back. And because we saw the same thing happen in another game this weekend.
Yes, we did.
But the Ravens score a freak touchdown on a long bomb from Joe Flacco, and they tie the game with 31 seconds left. And like I said, the Broncos have two timeouts and 31 seconds, and all they need is field goal range in Denver. Granted, the weather sucked. I mean, it wasn't snowing or anything, but it was 0 degrees with the wind chill.
The game started off at...
It was 10 degrees, I think.
15 degrees.
Yeah, yeah. So,
it considerably got colder considerably as the time went on.
But the Broncos get the ball back. And granted, Manning played like crap for a good chunk of the game. I mean, not crap, but I mean, by Peyton Manning standards, he played poorly. A couple picks and a fumble and just bad...
That last decision was the worst.
See, I was listening to it all on the radio.
I watched every freaking game this week.
But the Broncos take a knee with 30 seconds left and go, and they say, you know what, we're going to take our chances in overtime at home. And the whole first overtime period came and went with a whole bunch of thudding and a turnover by each team and 0 points. But that the Ravens were in field goal range as time expired in the first overtime, but the second overtime in the NFL is not like some overtime types of things where you reset play. Second overtime is just like the second quarter or the fourth quarter. We just keep going. We just switch sides and keep going. So the Ravens, they were in field goal range, long field goal range, but they went ahead and took another couple snaps in the second overtime period and then kicked the field goal for the victory. The Ravens win 38-35 in Denver. Ray Lewis lives to play another day with his bionic arm and his Shredder face mask. Peyton Manning's first year in the Broncos experiment playing outdoors in the cold. Pretty successful. Not what they wanted out of the deal, but it's going to be an interesting process for the Broncos next year, because their offensive coordinator
has just become
the head coach of a division rival. Yes. So Mike McCoy, recently hired by the San Diego Chargers. And now two coordinators of the Broncos have been hired to coach teams within the division in the last 2 years. Dennis Allen, the Raiders coach, was the Broncos defensive coordinator prior to moving to Oakland. So,
and I don't think he won't be there. Broncos have to worry about either one of those teams next year. Something's telling me here. I just don't think so.
You know, I don't like that taking a knee thing. See, you know, years ago, you know, I told you, you know, SC fan forever. Years ago, there was a coach at the USC named John McKay, and they had a chance to kick a field goal to tie a game that would send him to the Rose Bowl or whatever it was, and he went for it. And 1 year they made it, another year, another game they missed it or whatever. And he says, you know, we play to win. We don't play to tie. You know, and that's the kind of
like the 84 Orange
you
Bowl
have to have, man. I don't like this.
No, wait. I didn't see the game, so let me make sure I got it right. I mean, Denver was at home,
yes,
and they played for the tie.
Well, and there is
there's that rule that
the prevailing
on the road
wisdom
you play for
is
the tie.
Well, on the road you want to try to the prevailing wisdom is that if you're at home you go ahead and take overtime. And I think that the prevailing wisdom on that is
just, flip the
just
coin.
Silly.
I mean, there's a lot of other factors involved, man. I say you play to win. You
see, that's how I am. I would rather lose a game
trying to win it
than lose a game trying to tie it.
Yeah.
Which is what Denver essentially did, right? I don't I really don't like that. I didn't see the game, so I don't know. Maybe there were other mitigating factors, but just what I'm hearing, well, I'm like, that just that was,
one of the
if
things
I was a
that,
Denver fan, I'd be pissed.
I think
I
a lot
like
of them were.
So I'm glad
I mean,
they lost. So I'm not complaining, but
the radio broadcast was pretty interesting at that point because before I even knew that they had taken a knee, before the commentators on the radio even said that they had taken a knee, all you heard was booing. Like the booing was so loud on the radio when it happened. I knew what they did before they even said it, and I was listening to it on the radio. I was like, "You guys,
that's actually
kidding.
Pretty cool. Well, I like that."
Moise is another turnover, but definitive. Yeah, I don't play. You don't play for turnovers. You don't play for the negative. You don't play saying, "Okay, we're you know, well, if we turn the ball over, you don't
32 seconds. You say
31 seconds, and they had the ball at their own 20. They needed to get to about Baltimore's 35 to kick a kick a field goal.
Yeah, what you tell you know it's we're talking.
You make a couple goes. If they go wrong and you're clearly not going to make the distance, then maybe you take your knee.
If
but
the line is open, you throw it out of bounds.
Yeah. You don't take any chance.
You don't take a sack.
You throw it out of bounds. Or even you take the sack.
Even
right, but you don't throw an interception.
The pundits on Monday were even saying that even Peyton was a little disappointed with the fact that they were.
See, I'm surprised. Yeah, because I'm surprised Peyton didn't
overrule.
You know, back in that other place he used to play, he would have overruled any sort of decision like that.
He's still trying to fit in.
Yeah, yeah.
Calling audible in his beard yeah. Verano. But you know, the game played out the way it did, and the Ravens win the game, move on to the AFC Championship. The thing that the Ravens needed was to play with a little bit of life on the offensive side of the ball. Their defense, even though it hasn't been as dominant this season as it has been over the last decade. They got a couple pieces back off of injury the last few weeks, and you can't discount even a 80% Ray Lewis when it comes to having him out there.
You know that he's the kind of guy he's going to get his team excited.
But Baltimore's secondary, I mean, Ed Reed, even though he had a couple of bonehead moments in the game, Ed Reed is, I think, one of the five best players in football in the NFL today. And, I mean, that guy is just a savage, man. Like, and he is, if Troy Polamalu could stay healthy, Troy Polamalu and Ed Reed would be peers, but they're not because Ed Reed is just, and he gets penalized like he plays in black and yellow. I mean, they throw flags at him left and right, and he hasn't changed, and I hope he never does. But Baltimore moves on to the AFC Championship game. We'll talk about their opponent in a minute because...
Because Stacey's waiting for you to talk about
them? Oh, she probably thinks that they're real nice. But the other game on Saturday, not as entertaining as this one, because... Despite the fact that the Packers jumped out to an early lead thanks to a Colin Kaepernick pick six throw, the Niners really just handled this one. From the second quarter, they established dominance, and they really never looked back. Each team got a touchdown in garbage time the last few minutes, but, you know, the Packers just couldn't compete. What?
You don't translate that.
I don't know.
What, garbage time?
No.
Oh. Oh. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you, man. I just don't know what to tell you.
I just had flashbacks from about a year.
Colin Kaepernick runs for 181 yards, an NFL quarterback postseason record. Didn't do too bad throwing either, aside from that pick six early on in the first quarter. And the Niners really just kind of handled the Packers. And I kind of expected it. You know, the Packers, they kind of seemed like they were just a little bit taped together all season long. They battled injuries, and most of their guys were actually back for this game. Jordy Nelson was back, but not 100%. Clay Matthews really hasn't been right all year.
He's just a monster when he's healthy. He is a monster.
Yeah, he sure is. But despite Aaron Rodgers' ability to extend plays with his feet, his offensive line seems hell-bent on killing him one way or another. And you know what? They were not the weak link this time around, but they're the Packers' defense just had zero answers for the Niners offensively, and this is what a quarterback that can run and not just extend plays with his feet, but just downright beat you with his feet, like Kaepernick does. And
I wish he just wouldn't wear that stupid ball hat.
If I were Dom Capers, I would have just been. I mean, that's about how I would have expected it to go, to be honest, because nobody has an answer for the kid yet, other than take advantage of his rookie passing mistakes. So,
worst thing about that was they made two. Those two friggin' Harbaugh brothers made them both winners this weekend.
Well,
and moved them along.
Yeah, yeah. Both Harbaugh brothers won. I really don't want to see that Super Bowl.
I don't want to see those guys. I can't stand those.
The first game on Sunday, because the Niners did beat the Packers. The Niners move on to the NFC Championship game for the second time in a row. They benefited this time around in the playoffs from a backup punt returner for the other team muffing a punt deep in their own territory. Same number, too. I can't remember the guy's name. But Randall Cobb has been a little iffy with injuries, and so the Packers had another guy back there returning punts.
Every time I hear Randall Cobb, you remember the boxer Randy Tex Cobb?
No.
The Cobb brothers were bleeders, man. These guys fought battles. They weren't the greatest boxers in the world. They bled. They bled like stuck pigs.
Yeah.
And I think Randall Tex Cobb fought Ali, fought Frazier. He was always like a, you know, he would always get a championship fight. The Cobb brothers would always get championship fights, but they were never going to win those championships.
Mm-hmm.
But every time I hear Randall Cobb, I think of Randall Tex Cobb.
I'm going to have to check him out sometime, see some old footage.
Yeah.
Nothing beats...
Tough son of a gun, man.
Seeing a guy stand in there and take punches.
He was a tough dude, man.
Oh, man. Sunday brought a whole new battles on the football field.
I like some.
And you know how we talked about the Ravens-Broncos game and how we thought the Ravens might have scored too quickly? Well, the Falcons-Seahawks game had a wrinkle something like that. And I kind of thought it might happen where we would still get a good game out of the deal, but this one started out like a total clunker.
Oh, yeah. This is the only game I watched start to finish.
Atlanta jumped out early, and they came out throwing haymakers and landing them. The Falcons are up 20-0 at halftime, and it wasn't even that close. I mean, they were dominating everything. Marshawn Lynch was fumbling, and Marshawn Lynch fumbled. The Seahawks did not move the ball. They didn't stop the Falcons offensively. Matt Ryan in the first half, and Matt Ryan and Michael Turner were both just on.
But wasn't that shades of old SC? Pete Carroll goes in and makes the adjustments. And they come back.
And the thing is that a lot of teams down 20-0 in the playoffs, I would have said, okay, yeah, you're done. I never felt like the Seahawks were out of this game. Even as Atlanta was scoring again at the end of the first half,
yeah,
it never felt like Seattle was out of it. Because, I mean, we've seen Seattle score 35 points in a half several times recently. So defensively, yeah. I'm still not sold on the Falcons, which is why I don't think they stand a puncher's chance against the
Niners.
Not
a chance.
Yeah, I mean, that was made really clear in that game, was that Atlanta's, they've got some offense, but that defense is seriously suspect.
The thing the Seahawks have done that the Seahawks did that to the Niners twice.
Right.
I mean, the Seahawks, they beat everybody's face in for the last 4 weeks. I mean,
Atlanta got lucky though that they won, because they looked
horrible. This is what kills me when you got, we're talking about, okay, now like you said, they scored with too much time left.
Mm-hmm.
Why do teams go to this basically
the rush defense, drop 7.5?
Play some ball, man.
You gotta play some ball, yeah. Especially when a field goal can change it.
Exactly.
Now, if you've got to score a touchdown,
okay,
I can see
make
that.
Sense. Yeah.
But you
just gotta get the field goal range.
All right,
and they got a field goal kicker who's kicked 62 yards apparently in this season.
Yeah.
You gotta play tight. You gotta play like a goal line almost. Nice. Not a goal line, but you gotta play tight.
You gotta play your regular defense.
You can't play like, we're gonna give up 15 on three plays. Because you know what? 31 seconds.
That's a long time. That's a
long time, but at the same time, if you get one, stop them once,
you know how long it is. Ask any. You said your wife watches one game a year.
Yeah.
ask her how long 31 seconds is when she wants to do something. You go, look, there's only 31 seconds left in the game.
Yeah, right.
That's a 15-minute delay.
Yeah. It's just amazing, though.
The most amazing part of the Seahawks-Falcons game was that the Falcons score, they kick the field goal to go up 2 points with 15 seconds or 12 seconds or whatever it was. And then, you know, you still have to kick off. But Seattle's kick returner, Leon Washington, is damn good.
Yeah.
So obviously you don't want to kick to him.
But.
Yeah, that was.
But. Okay, so it's a classic squib situation, right?
Well, it should be.
And then.
That wasn't a squib.
No, let's do an onside. Let's do an onside and let him get the ball at the 40 if they.
Oh, man. And what about the field goal? What about the Atlanta field goal?
This whole icing kickers is full of crap.
I think that is bullshit. It's full of bull crap. Stuff. Well, you know what? You give him a go.
Yeah.
You give him a free go.
Yeah, so he can miss it and say, I got that out of my system, yeah, which is exactly what
I got
happened.
The range. Oh, and, wow, now I figured out that wind.
And what,
I need to kick. Yeah.
What was Pete Carroll's beef? He was yelling at the referee like, I didn't call a timeout, when
they clearly
showed him whispering sweet timeout nothings into the guy's ear on the sideline.
He's a cameraman.
Oh,
a camera
my God.
Yeah, that was the one where, and he's screaming, this is BS, this is BS, that's like, a terrible. It's like, no, let's see the replay. Yeah. I want the refs to be able to throw the red flag at the coaches every now and then, you know? Yeah.
He's like, they're exactly.
Having officiated sporting events and having.
You could see he was.
Wanting to just shove a person's bad decision back in their face for a change? Yeah. I would have loved to just be like, nope.
He was pleased.
Let's run the tape back.
He's like, there it is, time out. He was obviously pleased.
Yes, oh,
that
totally.
He got it out.
Yes.
I timed it just right.
And Matt Bryant misses the initial attempt, but it didn't matter because Pete called a timeout. On round two, he drills it. That thing was still going up when it hit the net, man.
I mean, it couldn't have been more perfect.
Kicking indoors for the win. That's got to be pretty
cool. What do you think about Russell Wilson? The kid's amazing.
Russell Wilson has a very, very bright future in the NFL.
This guy started everywhere. He started as a freshman in North Carolina.
North Carolina State.
Yeah, then he.
Because he knows better than to wear baby blue. I mean, those colors
enough,
the Seahawks wear are kind
good
of funky.
Enough for Jordan, right?
Yeah.
It's all right in basketball, not in football.
No.
That's what I say about UCLA.
Powder blue is different. All right.
There
you go,
difference.
But yeah, Russell Wilson, that guy, he just.
Very impressive.
He's just a competitor, man.
He never looks flustered, man. He never looks flustered. Even when he does the stupidest things or gets racked up, he just goes to the sideline. He looks like, okay, let's figure this out.
Yeah, the guy's been through his share of adversity. I mean, I'm not gonna say
that
adversity. Adversity, getting to switch to another college and not be penalized for it. That's pretty cool.
And starting there
most
too.
Folks don't get to do that.
Starting there, taking them to the
this guy has options out the wazoo. He could quit baseball football tomorrow and go play Major League Baseball. Yeah. And, you know, he's got a... I don't know if he's finished his master's degree, but he graduated already with his bachelor's degree, and he got to go for some free master's degree time at UW-Madison. And the guy is just... He makes good decisions under pressure in situations where you could easily crap your pants. And, I mean, he's a hell of an athlete, too. I mean, let's not discount the fact that he had more rushing touchdowns this year than I think Cam Newton did. Don't quote me on that, but, I mean, we'll look it up. But, I mean, the guy...
Where's Dave?
Dave's not here.
Dave's not here.
But, yeah, Russell Wilson, he's going to do big things, man. The Seahawks are not going away anytime soon, so... They got some young receivers.
That's the most interesting thing about them is they are. I mean,
Marshawn Lynch might be the oldest guy on the
team. Of the future. They look like.
They look good. And I like what's
they're coming together.
He's a mouthy son of a guy.
Richard Sherman.
Give him a little bit of seasoning. Yeah. This could be a really.
They got great names. Golden Tate. Come on. Names, man.
Dick Sherman.
Yeah.
That guy is a dick.
They could be good. They could be an interesting team in the next couple of years for sure.
NFC Championship game, Falcons-Niners in Atlanta.
I don't see Atlanta.
The Falcons have home field.
There's no way that Atlanta goes to the Super Bowl.
Doesn't seem like it.
There's just
absolutely.
What's really sucks because I'll be cheered. I'll be rooting for him.
I just don't see it happening. I mean, it could happen, but I think
it seems like San Francisco would just have to fall apart for that to happen.
And you know, even their young guys in pressure situations have the kind of poise like we were talking about with Russell Wilson. You know, like Kaepernick, that guy, he doesn't care if his hat looks stupid.
And it does.
It does.
I think there's too much talent on that Niners offense and their defense. Not as good as it might have been a couple years ago, but
this is definitely not the Montana young years, but they have a good chance.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see where it all ends up.
But if they end up in the Super Bowl, I'll be rooting for the Pats.
I have a hard time rooting
for the Pats ever.
Not against San Francisco.
Against San Francisco, that's an easy
move. That's an easy move.
You just gave away the next part. The Patriots did what we figured they'd do to the Texans.
They were who we thought they were.
There were no surprises in that game, other than the Texans hung tough as long as they did. But the third quarter was the knockout blow. Just give Bill Belichick two weeks. Away, yeah. I mean, that team is too well coached and too talented. They're one, like a lot of teams, that bye week is a hurdle for them. That was exactly what they needed, and that team is so mature and their head coach is so focused that
they've all been there so many
times. That is a team that I would hate to play after a bye. A lot of teams, I'd say, all right, I like our chances. No. And the Texans, you saw the way they faded down the stretch in the regular season. Last week, it was just delaying the inevitable with the victory over Cincinnati, because Cincinnati didn't belong in the playoffs anyway, but the AFC just kind of stunk the joint up a little bit this year, to be honest.
I was watching one of the pregame things, and they were talking to different players, and talking to, I forgot who it was. It wasn't Welker, but it was one of the guys who plays with on the Pats, and he says, tell us about Brady. He goes, Brady likes to compete. He hates to lose. He loves to compete. He goes, even when we play chess, he goes, if he loses, he lost me in chess. Was, he threw the chessboard. He goes, I thought it was a joke. He goes, but he was serious. And this guy lives and breathes football more than anybody on the team. He says, he's the first one to practice, the last one to leave the viewing room. You know, he studies films. The guy's just totally prepared. He's amazing.
And it shows.
Yeah, it does.
Yep. New England steamrolls Houston 41-28 in a game that was not as close as it
You're wondering, how did Houston get here?
and the funny thing is that Houston got the best play out of Matt Schaub that they've gotten in 6 weeks. And Andre Johnson showed up. Arian Foster had a little bit of a down day, but I mean, they knew they were going to have to chuck the ball all over the field to have a chance in this game anyway. And they didn't anyway. So, there was just... New England has too many weapons, and they had too much time to prepare. This is exactly what was going to happen.
And how is Welker always open? He's about 4'11".
Welker is always open because he is... I mean, except for when Danny Woodhead is in the game, he's the least physically imposing guy on the field. And they feel like if they're going to give up anything, it has to be him. And it's a horrible decision that defenses continue to make. But matchup-wise, which NFL coaches are stuck in cookie-cutter land where they think that everything has to be dictated by height and weight, matchup-wise, they feel like that's the only thing they can give up. And they get... bitch slapped because of it all the time.
You know who else was like that? He's a commentator. Chris Collinsworth. Chris Collinsworth was always freaking open.
Yeah, he was.
He wasn't fast. He wasn't, you know.
His soft hands, though. Yeah. So anything that got near him, he always caught.
Freaking open.
I mean, you never saw him drop a ball.
No, he didn't drop a ball.
And he wasn't the fastest guy.
No.
He wasn't the tallest guy. He wasn't the biggest guy. He was none of it. But he was always, he knew, he ran his routes so well.
Perfect routes.
And he was good at that head fake. You know, he was... Totally. I agree with you, man. He's another one of those types of guys where you're like, he shouldn't even have had a career like he had. But he did.
Yeah, possibly. I don't know if he is, but he's possibly a Hall of Famer. The guy was always wide open. Always.
Always.
He might make it as a Hall of Fame broadcaster for whatever that's worth.
He's fun. He adds
a lot to the
Yeah.
Mix.
Anything to keep Al Michaels from talking.
I'm all for that. Yep. Well, or Brent.
And I'd rather have Al Michaels talking than Bob Costas.
So. Thankfully,
they only let him talk at halftime, but still. Yeah. Ugh. God, some people. So, in the NFC Championship game, like we said, it's Niners-Falcons. The AFC Championship game, a rematch of last year. Baltimore visiting New England. And we already said, or at least I already said, that I don't like the Niners, but I think they have the upper hand against Atlanta. I think that New England, aside from experience, because Baltimore has their share of playoff experience, but not getting over the hump. And it's been a while since the Patriots got over the big hump, but, I mean, you have to look back to last year to see the last time they got to the big game. So, I think that the Patriots, they just... It used to piss me off that they were so good. I still don't like them, but I just can't help but respect them. And I dare I even say admire how well coached that group is, because they're doing nothing but getting older.
No, but they're still.
I mean, they're throwing young talent in on the defensive side of the ball. You see, you know, they got rookies out there like Alfonso Dennard and other young guys, but that team just. Belichick has the best job in the world. I mean,
and the worst wardrobe.
And it doesn't. It's one of those ones that he made.
He should spend some money, shouldn't he?
Yeah.
God knows he makes enough.
To take a job and make it the best job in the world is like the ultimate accomplishment, because that was not a desirable job when he took it.
That's true.
And he has. I mean, granted, he's not the only man there, but what the transformation that he has overseen in New England is just
a few stolen films.
Gosh darn ridiculous. You're welcome, Dewberry Jam Community Radio. For my
he reminds me PG-ing in some ways of like Tom Landry taking the Cowboys and doing what he did, like institutionalizing an idea, concepts over a long period of time.
Exactly.
And lots of people didn't like how he did it, but he just stuck with it, and it stuck, and it worked.
And, you know, he's kind of like,
until it didn't.
He's kind of a lot like Tom Landry. Tom Landry always wore the hat and the suit,
right?
And he's like the anti-Landry.
Yeah, he is.
He's the truck driver Tom Landry.
He does it with that same sort of consistency. Like, we're going to do it this way, and we're always going to do it this way. And in some ways, it's almost predictable, but at the same time, it keeps working.
Wouldn't hurt him to crack a smile once in a while. You know, once
like
twice.
Tom Landry.
Same
thing. Tom
the only thing that cracks a smile on him is herpes. you know, speaking of guys that took jobs that weren't desirable on the way in, Mike McCoy, we talked about it, former offensive coordinator for the Broncos, takes the Chargers' head job.
That is thankless, man.
He's got his work cut out for
him. He is a glutton for punishment.
Hey, you know what? The weather's nice.
Yeah.
The view's nice. Decent stadium.
You know, find yourself a 12-step program, because it is not going to be good, man.
You know what? He could have worse gigs, definitely. But here's an interesting coaching hire. The Bears, you know, they fired... The Bears fired Lovie Smith a couple weeks ago. Fired him on New Year's Eve. Nice guys. They finally hired a head coach earlier today, and they hired Mark Trestman of the Montreal Alouettes, or however you say that. French was never my specialty, especially French Canadian.
In the spirit of terrestrial radio, OMG WTF.
The Bears hire a coach who, for the last several years, has been dealing with 12 men. 100 meters and 3 downs as their new head coach. Unlimited forward motion as well.
And the field's a tad wider, too.
Yes. I believe the field is 55 meters wide, whereas an NFL field is 53.5 yards wide, I believe. So, just an interesting hire, to say the least. I haven't seen any. He's worked in the NFL many times before. He was the quarterback's coach, I believe, for the Niners back when Steve Young.
At least this guy knows the system. Yeah, if you'd told me he was a flag football coach before. Then
well, no, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Because the next head coaching transition we're going to talk about, as much as it seems like it should make more sense than this, it definitely doesn't. But yes, congratulations to Mark Trestman, the 14th head coach in Chicago Bears history. That's going to be an interesting transition. I can't wait to watch that one. To be perfectly honest, I'm going to be very entertained by the whole thing. But the head coaching hire that I think, and since you mentioned flag football, Chip Kelly of the Oregon Ducks.
I'm not leaving.
Chip Kelly of the Oregon Ducks, formerly of the Oregon Ducks, because as of today, the new head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. He talked with a couple of teams, including the Eagles, the Browns, and the Bills, while they were out in Arizona to play the Tostitos Bowl.
But then he said he wasn't leaving.
And he said, no, I'm not going to leave. I'm not going to leave.
He had
I'm
one of those Pete Carroll
I don't think so.
I heard Oregon.
I don't think Oregon's going to get the hammer the way SC did.
But he's still a part of the investigation.
Maybe. The thing is that the NCAA is...
Jay Leno.
The NCAA is a joke anyway, but...
Well, we all agree to that.
I think that...
He had the bolt.
Well, I think that there's a lot to be said for the fact that he is as hot as he is ever going to be as an NFL coaching commodity. I think that for as many openings as there were this year, this was the perfect opening for him in terms of the NFL. Because he can get one good year out of Michael Vick. And they're going to draft somebody young. They have a high draft pick this year because the Eagles were terrible. They won 4 games. So the Eagles are going to have a very high draft pick. And like I said, he's got one. He's going to squeeze one good year out of Mike Vick. And then he's going to draft a guy for his system. But I don't know. I mean, we're seeing a renaissance of mobile quarterbacks in the NFL right now with guys like Robert Griffin and Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick doing things that... that make front office guys and their scouts cringe, and they make defensive coordinators rip what's left of their hair out. But I don't know, man.
It's funny you mentioned.
I don't know how much Chip Kelly has benefited from being able to recruit, and how much his system is going to be able to translate in a league where the talent is so much more equal. So,
at least this will be wearing green. But here's the thing. Yeah. You mentioned,
and wings, too.
One of the things you mentioned is...
And Nike.
Is the Eagles and Philly, which are my son's... Eagles and Vic. It's my son's favorite team. So he's my rack on the Eagles or Vic. You know what his response is? Because, he plays soccer, too. Yeah, man, but Messi's a beast. So we just switch sports.
WTF.
Well, I'm a big fan too, so, you know. Hey, there's 15. What do you say?
Yeah, at that age, that's you can do that.
Yeah.
There doesn't have to be logic in your argument.
No, man.
You just need to keep talking.
I thought your other son was the Eagles fan.
No,
the younger one.
Okay. Wow. I'm going to have to give him some trash about that the next time I see him.
Oh, please,
I guess it's better than never mind. But, yeah, of the NFL coaching hires, some curious ones. Like I said, I think that this one, despite the fact that we've seen some successful college to the NFL coaching jumps recently, this one I don't think is nearly the sure thing that even the unsure things that we've seen work out well have been the last few years. So...
I think this is a
good for him for landing the job. He's
going to be like
he's
going to Florida. Then went to the NFL. Now he's back.
Spurrier was the offensive innovator at Florida.
It's like a Lane Kiffin.
He went to the Redskins for 2 years and then went straight back to college. Yeah. Nick Saban did the same thing. He was not an offensive guy,
but he
did piss poor at Miami and then.
Yeah.
Quit and took off back to college.
This is
the historical precedent as far as college coaches making the jump to the NFL goes. The guys we're seeing right now,
Jimmy Johnson, baby.
Well, Jimmy Johnson also left every college that he coached at on probation because he was coaching professional players because they were getting paid
national championships.
Well, he didn't win a national championship at Oklahoma State.
That's true.
He did win. Did he win one or two at Miami? I think he just won one.
He's the only coach who's won. Because
I think Schnellenberger won one.
National championship, the college, and a Super Bowl, right?
Barry Switzer has done both.
Switzer
as well.
Did it afterwards.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
he was the first. He was the first to do it.
We will see. Pete would be the next one to have a possibility of doing it. So, because Saban's not going back to the NFL. He's got way too good at Alabama. And, you know, a lot of these coaches, they have that drive and that what if always that keeps driving them. I think
that's
Saban. First of all, Nick Saban doesn't look a day over 45. The guy's 62, I think.
He doesn't look happy. That's what he doesn't look.
No, he really doesn't. But I think he does have. I think that his stint in Miami and his subsequent success in Tuscaloosa has given him the perspective and the wisdom to say, you know what, it's never going to get better than it is right now. So, I don't know, though. You know, these guys, they all have that competitive fire. We'll see. Okay, my last football story, and this is going to segue into the end of the segment and into the news and tabloid stories, because this is sort of a football story, but sort of not. We all heard a lot back in September about the fact that Manti Te'o, the linebacker for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, lost both his grandmother and his girlfriend in like a 12 to 48 hour span, depending on whose Twitter account you were following.
That's true.
We didn't talk about it a lot because we didn't know that Notre Dame was going to be a big story back then, back in September. But Teo's grandmother died the day before the Michigan State Notre Dame game, I think week 2 or maybe week 3 of the season. And then we started to hear that his girlfriend passed away of leukemia, like, right around the same time. Same day, even. Like, he heard about one, then heard about the other 12 hours later or something. But the timeline was always a little fuzzy because no one was really sure exactly where, when, or how. There were rumors that she'd been in a car accident earlier on in the year, and then the leukemia came back or something. It was a little fuzzy, but
The story
really tugged at the heartstrings a lot, you know? And people went with it because it sounded like a good story. The guy overcame adversity and sadness and played great. And well, some thanks to some really solid investigatory journalism, turns out that this girlfriend of Manti Te'o's, they never really met. Turns out that it was more of an online girlfriend. And it turns out that she wasn't so much a girlfriend as a guy that kind of sort of knew him and was pretending to be a girl.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding
me? And it turns out that the girl was never really a girl at all, never really existed, and she never really died because she never really lived. And the whole thing is just so... All right, I'm going to post the ESPN link, because the ESPN link, it's very heavily qualified with allegedlies and apparentlies.
It's got all the legalese in it, right?
Yeah. I mean, not even a lot of it's not even legalese so much as journalistic hedging their bets. But the original story that I read was on Deadspin, and, you know, this is a site that does not value journalistic integrity at all, so I took it with a grain of salt for a good minute, but... I mean, they really, really unearthed a good bit of evidence. And to the point where apparently on the day after Christmas, the guy who was perpetrating this whole hoax called Teo, or the girl who he had impersonating this girlfriend on the phone while talking to Teo, called him and said, "Hey, this is the girl that you've been talking to. I ain't dead because I'm not your girlfriend."
Let me just understand this. You are a star of a major university's football program.
Run the whole thing out, and then we'll talk about logical next steps.
You can't find a chick on campus or within the next, you know, within a 50-mile radius of campus, that you have to find some chick online and then fall in love with some dude that's pretending to be a chick?
So, Manti Te'o... Teo.
It's a different college experience than I had.
Sounds like it.
He's a Hawaiian kid, a Mormon kid.
But the Mormon church will fly you about it. All you do is call up, you know, Salt Lake City. They'll send him a spouse.
And here's where it gets really bizarre. Because it became apparent that one guy in particular who knew his family, because, you know, all these islanders are related, One guy in particular seemed to have orchestrated this whole deal, and One of the terrifying conclusions that you could jump to because I'm just going to let you dig in and read it and come to your own conclusions, but one of the terrifying conclusions you could come to is that these guys had a relationship and they were ashamed of it. And then, you know, they were communicating online while he was pretending to be a chick so that, you know, the football star / Mormon golden boy wouldn't be disgraced. And then when the relationship soured, they said, okay, well, here's how we can gracefully get this out of the way and let's kill her off. That makes as much sense as the whole thing to begin with. So this whole thing is just, I mean, mind-boggling. It's incredible. I mean, and there's that version of how this could have played out, which is that he was in on it. There's the other version where he was in on it, where he did it for the positive publicity because college football is a media game. There's the version that he is telling and that Notre Dame's athletic department is now telling, which is that he was played for a fool and he had no idea the whole time.
That's what I'm going to go with. I'm an idiot.
Yeah. This is just...
That's going to break you really high in the draft.
I mean, holy crap. I don't know, dude. This whole thing is just so friggin' out there, like... Wow!
What do the Amish call it? A Rumspringa? He should have said something. He should have headed down to Lancaster and met an Amish chick. On Rumspringa.
Oh, man. Wow. God. Just read the story. I mean, come to your own screwed up conclusions because I don't even know which
don't
way to go
give
with
me
this.
That
man.
Opportunity. We'll skip next week.
So for those of you that love to laugh at Notre Dame...
Hello, brother.
Merry Christmas. Christmas come late.
Hello, brother. I'm a girl, really.
I'm choosing not to use any of the names in this story because apparently they're all made up anyway, so... Wow.
Yeah.
Just wow.
Holy beater to be a big college, big-time college athlete.
Just wow. All right. Hang loose, brother.
Hang loose, brother.
As they say in the islands.
All right, Holly. Oh, where's your music? Oh, gosh. And that's another edition of T-Bone's Time Out. This is the Swoops World on the Talk Story Radio Network and AM 1670 Dewberry Jam Community Radio. We're going to take a quick break. Listen to John Mulvey, Du Corey. We'll be back after this. Actually, before we get to that, we're going to listen to, actually, John Mulvey, This and That. But I wanted to give a shout-out to everybody in the chat room. We got T-Bone, Stacy, Jeff Blaze, Rob was there earlier, Tom Mills there earlier. And a shout-out to everybody listening on the Swoops Row app, which went over, what did I say, 500, over 500 downloads this week.
Nice.
On the Swoops Row app, as well as those listening on the TalkStream Live app. This is John Mulvey, This and That. We'll be back after this.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We're retired, and this is how we live United.
We decided to volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too. We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic. We don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you. And your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Talk Story Radio.
Hello, this is James Eday from the Dub Rock Duo. Just wanted to let you know that you're listening to Swoop's World.
Everybody's waiting for a better day. A better day.
All the talk about Manti Te'o, man, in the chat room. Everybody's a little concerned about the young Hawaiian young lad, brother. Is it time for news, guys?
Yeah.
Here we go. Who's got something ready to go there?
They're all
jumping at once.
Right here, man. Wisconsin man to cop plea in couch sex case. So now when I read that, I'm thinking, so he's obviously having sex with a minor on a couch, or he was having sex.
That's the ultimate bar cushion for the person there,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, you know. No. In this case, a Wisconsin man has been charged with having curbside sex with an abandoned couch. And he's trying to negotiate a plea bargain.
Do you think he, like, squirted anything on there first to make it...
Maybe it already had stuff on there.
Consummate the relationship, yeah. He said.
So, Gerard Streeter.
Not Depardieu.
This guy is... You see this picture, you're not surprised that he's bumping a couch.
The funniest thing is the ad sins, because a couch shows up.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I know.
Hey,
I saw
you
want to
buy a couch?
I wonder if that's the couch that it looks like. I don't know. Anyhow, he's due in Waukesha County Circuit Court on February 25th for a plea sentencing hearing. He turns 47 and was arrested last September for lewd and lascivious behavior.
Lewd, lascivious.
As detailed in criminal complaint, Streeter's 11 p.m. furniture tryst, I'm not making any of this stuff up, I'm just reading,
was interrupted
by an off-duty police officer out for a jog. The cop, Ryan Edwards, reported spotting... quote, a subject leaning over the couch face down, and it looked like he was having sexual relations with someone on the couch. Okay, now that makes sense, right? What happens next does not make sense.
What happens next is there's an off-duty guy with too much time with his finish your jog, dude.
Yeah, yeah, no, he's yeah, I'm with you. That, it was first thing when I read that, I'm like, dude, I'd have just
kept on running.
Just turn the other way, man.
As he approached the yellow couch, Edward yelled, "What are you doing?" The suspect, later identified as Streeter, responded by dismounting. So he mounted the couch and running away. As Streeter fled, Edwards could see that the defender's penis was erect. What's he doing looking at that part? Unless he's gay himself. Edwards
not straight.
Added that Streeter had been thrusting his pelvic area. You know what I'm thinking here?
Who cares? That's what I'm thinking.
Or I'm thinking that Edwards is a little pissed that Streeter got on his couch.
You defiled my couch,
my old
you
lady.
Bastard.
You're my old lady there. Anyhow, has been thrusting his pelvic area against the cushions and trying to sexually gratify himself. You know, doesn't Streeter have a couch at home? Maybe that couch at home said no, no more.
No means no. No means no.
The last line of the story is great when we get there.
So he's rubbing his penis between the two cushions. Streeter, blah blah blah. You know, okay. So the attorney is working on the deal. A plea with the prosecutors, adding that the punishment could include probation, work release, or fine. I'm thinking this is the guy that definitely needs to be put away just for just general health. Just general safety.
Like, why would you even sit on an abandoned couch?
Yeah, right? Don't touch
what's
it.
What do you think when you see a couch on the side of the road?
I'm like, hey,
we should light that on fire to keep it from spreading.
That's right.
Like, that's what I think.
I think, how you doing? All right.
So Streeter, who is currently involved in treatment, I don't even want to know what that's all about, according to court records. Streeter is expected to enter a guilty plea, as opposed to no contest plea, which cannot be used against the, blah, blah, blah. The couch in question, LaVoy said, is not in a position to sue his client. Thank goodness for that, I guess. He's got that going for him. He's off the hook.
Let's review here.
Was this a minor couch?
How old is this couch?
Are we talking
manufactured when?
Pedophilia couch, or is this some sort of, you know, statutory rape couch? Yeah. Why am I here? What did I do wrong?
It's a couch, for God's sake.
Couch. It didn't hurt anybody.
Here's the thing, you know.
Doesn't he have some friends he can go visit and hump their couches?
I'm disgusted with the guy. But I'm less disgusted with him. With the guy out for the jog. This is fighting crime, man.
I know.
It's like,
On your off time.
Like Stacey said, you know what?
Clearly, you know, this guy
Pull out your cell phone. You got a million hits on YouTube on this one.
And here's the thing. Is clearly, this guy wasn't indecently exposing himself.
No. Because he had to run away before he saw his junk.
Exactly. It was obviously pressed between two cushions, so he wasn't exposed.
And it was after you confronted him.
And 11 p.m. at night, so there's no kids. You don't have to worry about, like, the youngsters seeing a bad thing, because they're all in bed.
They're in bed.
You know, I mean, admittedly, this guy's definitely wrong.
He's got issues.
But, seriously. You know, Ryan Edwards, he's bucking for promotion. That's what it is, man. He's trying to move his way up the ladder.
Where was this again? What small town?
This was in...
Police
what,
department?
What'd you say? Waukesha?
Waukesha.
Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Oh, there you have it, man. He's trying to get a job in Fargo, North Dakota. Where's Fargo?
That's a couple North states Dakota. Over, man.
Yeah, but that's where they... When you work in Wisconsin...
You try to move
your way up, right?
I don't know, man. I'd be trying to get myself out. Somewhere where it's warm. But... I don't know.
He's either that or he's trying to get a job in Lambeau.
I think Ryan Edwards feels like this couch was cheating on him with Streeter, and so he turned him in. I think this is a triangle. I think this is a tryst. This is bad. This is.
I don't know, man.
Anyhow.
Defile the couch.
Again, I mean, how many options? There's got to be better options than a couch sitting on the side of the road.
You would think.
You think, man?
I got a PM from Stacy. That's pretty. I think that cushion might have been really loose.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's walking the streets. Anybody can hump that couch.
Loose.
Bo, were you ready for one? If not, I
nothing like a loose couch.
Yeah. You know, this one probably falls near and dear to all of our hearts in some way or another, and it's a story about youth sports.
Oh, that's what I was going to do too.
Oh, okay. You want to go with it?
No, go with all it. Right. So, it just pisses me off.
So, you know, one of the great things about youth sports and youth soccer in particular is that they try not to make you feel bad when you lose. You know, and let's all be friends and
kumbaya, man.
Let's all give the other team a cheer. 8-6-4-2. We enjoy playing you. Or up the alley, down the street. Yeah, whatever. You give them a nice little cheer, and then you go through the line and give everybody on the other team a high five and say good game, even though you're really thinking, like, that's right, bia, bia. But apparently the paranoia about our children's safety has reached a new level, at least in New York, as a Manhattan-based youth soccer club has acted to discourage its elementary school athletes from taking part in the post-game ritual of walking down the line and giving a high five to the other team. The reason is that they are worried that the kids might get the flu. Kids are supposed to get the flu.
This is after playing a game for 60 minutes where you're grabbing, tugging.
Yeah, breathing all over each other exactly. And all sorts of unholy stuff.
This is after you left class that day with a guy behind you coughing on your back of your neck all day long.
Don't give a high five. You might not be safe. Like, that they are encouraging the boys and girls, I guess maybe, to bump elbows through the line.
Oh, yeah.
I just feel like that's inciting violence, personally.
It is.
I mean, you're encouraging children to elbow one another. I mean, what's next? They're going to take out guns and start shooting each other on the field.
It's one step away. As a matter of fact, I think you can get a yellow card for an elbow, can't you?
I'm sure you can. Absolutely. Yeah. So this is the official statement, or at least a portion of the official statement from the Manhattan Soccer Club. At this point, the MSC board and the coaching staff would recommend that players not shake/touch hands with opponents after the games. The safest thing to do is to touch elbows. The coach or manager can explain this to the other team prior to the game. I'm so sick of this safety crap, man. Like, kids are going to get sick. They're supposed to get sick. They need their immune systems
I mean, soccer's not the most, you know, bumping into sport. It's not the most contact sport, but still, there's a lot of contact.
There's a lot. Yeah. I was at a soccer game earlier today.
Yeah. There's a lot of contact.
Tugging, pulling, grabbing.
A handshake at the end. It's not like you're going to shake their hands and go eat your hamburger. What do you do when you get done with the sporting event?
Yeah, take a shower.
You know, exactly. It's like, doesn't make any sense. It's just absurd.
This is stupid. What they should be saying is, listen, guys, after the game, I want you to, like, wash up before you do, touch anything, before you rub your face or anything. No high fives.
Candy asses.
Yeah.
A whole generation of candy asses.
Speaking of how our youth are treated, did you see this article on this woman who was kidnapped?
Yeah, that was just weird.
Katie Beers. 20 years on, Katie Beers says kidnapping saved her. How screwed up is your life?
Yeah.
When being chained as a 10-year-old for more than 2 weeks in a coffin-sized box in suburban New York dungeon was Katie Beers says 20 years later is the best thing that happened to me because it allowed her to escape her life of abuse. On the 20th anniversary of her ordeal, Beers has co-written a book with a television reporter who covered the kidnapping. Buried Memories, Katie Beers' Story. Beers, now 30, mother, married, mother of two, excuse me, has a degree in business management. Her kidnapping attracted nationwide attention in early 1993 when revelations surfaced while she was still missing that she had suffered years of neglect from her mother and had been repeatedly sexually abused and assaulted by her godmother's husband since she was a toddler. Oof. So she gets kidnapped. I don't read the whole thing. But yeah. Kidnapped, chained in a coffin-sized place.
And as a result, ends up in foster care.
Home. Which
sounds like those people were actually decent people.
Saved her from the life she was living prior to that.
What a mess.
That is a mess.
Yeah, I mean.
That is a mess.
That is just scary.
Yes, yeah, after kidnapper John Esposito, a family acquaintance, admitted to detectives that he had kidnapped Beers and showed them the dungeon where he was... had hidden her for 17 days under the Bayshore New York home.
Sick.
The little girl was placed in foster care and raised in a comfortable East Hampton home with four siblings. East Hampton. The Hamptons?
Hamptons. Hamptons
uh-huh.
are nice.
They actually take in fosters in the Hamptons there? Or is it East Hampton? Like,
I guess so.
Not what I think.
No, it's...
P. Diddy and all of the Martha Stewart and all that. That's all the Hamptons, right?
Mm-hmm. There's... Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to be a foster kid.
Two
Too late.
All you gotta do is...
You missed your chance. You needed to get sexually assaulted and tied up in a little coffin for 17 days.
They don't take black kids in the Hamptons.
They make an exception now and again.
Every once in a while, right? Then you end up with Tom Cruise. Or...
Still.
Not a bad thing.
No, sure, you know. Yeah, you got to believe in some aliens and stuff like that, but can you imagine? You get to do some fun stuff.
You
man.
Do get to do some fun stuff. There are some fun stuff, but there's some craziness.
You just have to agree that aliens and Scientology and L. Ron Hubbard are the greatest thing on the planet.
He's like the number two guy in the friggin' system there, man.
Yeah, he's up there. He's going to replace L. Ron Hubbard soon. They're going to call it Tom Cruise.
Yeah, but yeah, L. Ron who?
L. Ron who?
Anybody got another one? We got about 6 minutes.
I had them all.
Over there, get the old
lady. I like the South African woman gored by rhino after posing for photo. That's
who
the thing.
Who stands in front of rhinos to pose for photos?
No, these things weigh like a ton.
Yeah,
and they have
that's
a horn.
Why we put them behind walls.
Has anybody ever seen
the
they got a big old giant horn? You know what they use that horn for? To spear people with. At least that's what they did here. Here's a photograph. Someone could put that in the link in the chat there. Photograph shows Chantal Bayer, 24, and her husband just a few feet away from two white rhinos, which on average weigh 4,000 to 5,000 pounds. So not a ton, but 2 tons of fun. A few seconds later, after this photo's taken... one of the rhinos attacked.
She's got a rhino horn up her ass.
Oh, my God. It's like, you know, I don't even feel sorry for these people. Because you know what? You're in Africa, and you're out where the wild animals are. And guess what? They're wild.
There's a reason you don't get out of that chair.
Yeah, duh.
Look at that. That rhino's out there going, how you doing?
How you doing?
He's already sizing her up.
Have you seen my horn?
It's
I
real.
Got a horn. Yeah. The rhino's horn.
Like, even if this story hadn't ended this way, if this picture was in one of those add a caption to this photo contest,
oh my God.
Yeah. 9 out of 10 would have come straight to the same conclusion.
Absolutely. Exactly. So the rhino's horn penetrated her chest from behind, causing a collapsed lung and broken ribs. Mrs. Bayer, a Bachelor of Commerce student from Johannesburg, is in an intensive care unit. I don't know why do we got to know she's a commerce student? But anyhow.
Yeah, I don't know.
Intensive care unit at Krugersdorp Hospital, where she is said to be in stable condition. Game park owner Alex Richter had reportedly told a group of visitors it was safe to get out of the safari vehicle to take photos. And he even used food to coax the rhinos closer. Here's a quote. There were quite a few young people in the vehicle, and they probably felt that they could trust Richter, who was an adult.
Okay, and this girl was 24.
Which I think qualifies her as an adult, she but perhaps not in South Africa.
She wasn't 14.
No. So the game park owner reportedly suggested that she stand just a little bit closer to the massive bull rhino moments before it attacked.
Okay, let me read between the lines. Her husband slipped the game park guy a substantial amount of money to talk his wife into standing in front of a rhino.
I don't know. There must be something.
It's got to be something. It's got to come out. This guy, who's too...
So the game reserve... describes itself as giving guests the ideal opportunity to gain view, with rhinos listed among the animals sighted at close range. Close range is a relative thing. Obviously, there's close range, and then there's too close range. And she entered the too close range. I don't feel a moment, you know, common sense has got to step in at some point.
I mean, in the photo that we have right here, she is less than a rhino length away from
And then there's a second one, so, you know, they could have both.
I mean, I'm pretty sure from looking at the picture which one... was the aggressor here. But I mean, don't these things, can't they run really, really fast for a short distance?
They're like NFL linemen. Yeah. They can't see well. They can't smell well. And all they do is detect movement. And when they feel endangered at all, they move as fast as they can over a very short distance and slam their bodies into whatever it is they feel is a problem. They're herbivores. They don't even attack these things to eat. They just attack because they're like...
You're just too close.
You're too close and you're a problem. Again, NFL lineman. It's like just... Common sense.
Get away from my quarterback.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I don't feel a bit of sorry for this person.
No, really? Man, I was really feeling bad. Yo, what are you going to do?
I do think it's funny that the husband...
You go stand next to him.
Has positioned very closer to the
You see where he's standing, right?
Yeah. And look how he's obviously the smarter of the two.
He's got his hand in the situation where he can push away from her.
Hell yeah.
Moment, right?
I'm out of here. This was your idea. You stand next to him.
Let's put it this way. You wanted to go on holiday.
Yeah. I wanted to go to soccer games, but no, we had to go see rhinos.
Oh god! It's entirely too much fun here. Oh, Swim's Around Late Night. We're here every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Central, and 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And we're tomorrow on Swim's Around Prime Time, which is just Peter and myself because T-Mone, he's just too cool for school.
He's got a real job
on Thursdays.
We're out there molding America's youth.
Exactly, man. Right. We are here at 11.
God help us all.
Hopefully, I can teach him how to, you know, navigate without GPS.
Yeah,
and stay away from the rhinos.
Stay away from rhinos. Let them know that rhinos, despite their cuddly and warm, fuzzy exterior, are dangerous.
Yeah. Some sort of prime time Thursdays, 11 a.m. Pacific, and that is 2 p.m. Eastern. We want to thank everybody for tuning in, as always. Those of you listening in on the Swoops World iPhone app, Swoops World Android app, as well as those that tune in on AM 1670, Dewberry Jam Community Radio, and Talk Stream Live. All episodes of Swoops World are available for free downloads on iTunes. If you do go to iTunes, please leave us a review and a comment. We appreciate that. But as I always say, everything is always interactive, live, and archived. You can always listen to archives on Swoops World. com. If you want to send us an email, swoopsworld@gmail.com. And until then, some of you, we'll see you tomorrow on primetime. If not, we'll see you next week on Swoops World Late Night. Anybody got anything?
No, that's it, man.
Got all those things in there? I got them all in?
I think so.
Good night, all.
Good night, all.
Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate it.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.